September 28th, City Commission meeting of the City of Winter Park. If you would silence your cell phones, please, we're going to have Pastor Carrick from Winter Park Christian Church read an invocation. If you'd remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance afterward, we appreciate it. Thank you.
If you would bow your heads in prayer with me. O Creator God, we come into your presence asking you to bless those assembled here. All come with the desire to make the community in which they live a better place, to grow their businesses and families. We pray especially for Mayor Leary and each of the commissioners. They come needing your wisdom and guidance for the important decisions they have been called to make. I pray that they continue to be faithful to the task that leadership requires, and that all their endeavors be fruitful in your sight. In the name of the one with many names, we lift up this prayer. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor, thank you so much, and thank you for being our community. Randy, do we have any changes to the agenda as printed?
No, sir.
No? Folks, look for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Wonderful. I'm going to head down to Chief White. Please join me, Chief.
You know the path. You've been up here so often lately, I can't take it anymore. But I'm always pleased to do these. So we have another award for Chief White, our outstanding Winter Park Fire Chief here. Winter Park Fire Chief, this is the Ronnie Jack Coleman Leadership Award. Winter Park Fire Chief James E. White was presented with the Ronnie Jack Coleman Leadership Legacy Award during the Center for Public Safety Excellence 16th Annual Award Ceremony in Atlanta. This award recognizes an individual for their superior leadership and actions that have elevated the international fire and emergency services profession through mentoring, teaching, and sharing outstanding contributions. Recipients must exhibit consistent dedication and commitment to the fire service profession by demonstrating a devotion to help raise the international fire and emergency services to greater heights. Since the late 1990s, we're not going to go back too far, Chief. Chief White has exemplified excellence by beginning the process that ultimately led to the Winter Park Fire Rescue Department to accreditation success. He has also led Winter Park Fire Department to be innovators in the world of ambulance safety by changing the way ambulances are designed and keeping safety for the providers in mind. His department also received an Insurance Service Office Class 1 rating in 2013 and accreditation from the Commission on Accreditation of Ambulance Services in 2014. Chief, congratulations on your legacy award. We thank you for your dedicated team of fire rescue personnel for keeping us safe and helping be on the front lines for us. This is well-deserved. I think those that have served up here recognize the time and effort, and as much as you try to stay in the back and give your staff credit for all the work they do, it's a great pleasure to bring you forward and let the people of Winter Park and everyone else know what an amazing job you've done with us for us. Thank so, this.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. When I was surprised with this award in Atlanta back in August, I don't know how often you want to get an award that says legacy on it at my age, but I'll take it. I expressed to the group of International Fire Service leaders that this was more about my community and my firefighters and the people in my community than it was anything about me. And I appreciate you mentioning that, Mayor, but it truly is. And without the support of the leaders like yourself and those that have gone before and have allowed, as I always say, allowed our department to become this, we wouldn't be here. And so thank you very, very much for taking the time to recognize this for us. And thank you.
Let's get a picture. Cool. Always good to have a photo with a legacy.
Legacy photos.
I know.
There we go. Okay. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Jerry, would you join me up here? Good to see you, too. It's great to see so many great leaders of our city up here. Many of you know that Jerry's retirement is upon us, and your final day is 2 days from now.
Yep, 17 hours away.
What did you do in these counties?
His wife is here, too, Katrina.
Oh. Katrina, would you join us as well?
You're going to have to get used to this, Jerry.
I'm very used to it. I'm very used to it. She's the reason.
Yeah. And we know what it takes to spend, Jerry spends so much time. I know the texts and the emails and the phone calls he gets. So thank you for putting up with us and then working with Jerry, because I know it is thankless and he gets those weekend calls, especially during rainstorms. So thank you for, it's unofficial service, but thank you. We have a great proclamation here for you, Jerry. This is Jerry Warren Day, September 30th, 2015. Whereas since 2007, Jerry Warren has served as the Electric Utility Director for the City of Winter Park, topping off a career that has spanned 43 years in the electric and national gas industries. And whereas for over 20 of those years, Jerry has provided public service to the cities of Gainesville and Winter Park, where he was responsible for direct management of their utility departments. And whereas Jerry served as lead consultant on the team that assisted the City of Winter Park in the creation of its electric utility department. And while serving as its director, Jerry has managed an annual budget of $48 million, overseeing the service of over 14,000 electric utility customers, and led the initiative to underground miles of overhead wires, resulting in a dramatically improved reliability. And whereas under Warren's direction, Winter Park's undergrounding initiative is well on its way to completion, with 59% of lines currently underground, and a solid plan for remaining lines to be underground in the next 8 years. And whereas his management and leadership skills have been the foundation for creating a talented staff, proficient in providing excellent service to electric utility customers, and whereas the city is grateful for Jerry's dedicated service to the community and wishes him the very best in his retirement years as he spends time with his wife Katrina, 4 children, 7 grandchildren, and supporting the University of Florida Gators, and he's a loyal fan. We had to throw the Gators in there. Now, therefore, I, Steve Leary, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the City of Winter Park and the state of Florida, do hereby proclaim the day Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, as Jerry Warren Day in the City of Winter Park, and encourage all citizens to celebrate his success and wish him years of happiness in his new life adventures. Jerry, it is an understatement to say the electric utility would not be in the shape it is today if it weren't for your efforts. And we thank you, the citizens of Winter Park. Thank you.
I guess I should say thank you and shut up, but I think all of you know me a little better than that. Really, just a couple of things I would like to say. It's been a real honor to serve the City of Winter Park. I can't imagine a better gig than to finish up the last 8 years of your career working for the citizens of Winter Park. It's been a thrill, and it's been a big honor. And I'd like to say, you know, you don't do good stuff without a great team. And I have had the good fortune of being around a great team. I'd like to specifically thank Randy and thank Michelle. They've been terrific to work with. Their support is never-ending. And I just want to say thank you to both of you for that privilege that you've granted me. And I'd like to say thank you to the commission. You guys have been amazing. The whole 8 years that I've been here, didn't always agree with the actions of the commission, but you've been very supportive. I appreciate your respect. I appreciate your willingness to sometimes go with some pretty big recommendations. And so I just want to say thank you very much.
Let's get a picture.
Oh, okay.
One, two, three.
on the agenda. Randy, we have the city manager's report.
Yes, sir. I just want to, you know, while we're honoring Jerry, just mention that certainly on behalf of the city manager, we're going to miss him. You know, he took over the utility about 28 months into us owning it. And, you know, we were bleeding cash at the time and had a lot of things going on. And he stepped up and really took our utility to the level we thought it could be when we bought it. And so I'm very proud of what he's accomplished and for making our team look good, the people that made the decision to buy the utility look good. So I really appreciate that. You know, maybe wondering how we're going to proceed without him. And so I'm going to briefly tell you.
That'd be nice to know.
Troy has agreed to oversee from the director side the electric utility. We brought in Dan D'Alessandro, that I think you've all met. If you haven't, Dan, if you'd stand up so everybody can see you here. Dan is the new operations manager. He comes with a great deal of experience, you know, both operating utilities as well as a consultant from the outside and or contractor from the outside helping other utilities run, including the one in this area before. So he's got that experience. We've also brought on Kara Purdy, who is here, and she is our new senior engineer that will be designing the undergrounding part of the projects as well as being the assistant operations manager. So she comes to us with many years' experience, most recently with Gainesville Regional Utility. So
great.
So she's going to be a great addition to the team. Plus we're going to keep Jerry on contract to handle some of the things he has been so great at working with us on, such as the bulk power supply. So that's how we're going to move this forward without him. We've got three people stepping in, and we're going to keep using Jerry. That's how we're replacing him. So
great. And you know, I want to say an official welcome, Dan and Kara and Jerry. Good to have you still with us. Randy has kept us a prize, so it wasn't a surprise to us up here. But welcome, guys, officially from the commission.
In your packet, I put a kind of the next 90-day work schedule. I just wanted you to have that. You know, we try to do that every quarter to just keep you up to speed on the kind of things that are coming forward. So, but with that, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Commissioner,
a couple of quick ones, Mayor. Randy, we had the on November 9th on that list, you had the notice of disposal for Progress Point. Is that when we're expecting to have that gone through P&Z and also to have a
yes
potential renegotiation of that contract before?
Yes.
Okay. The other one I had is I believe the last meeting we talked about having an update on the trees, and I'd like to have that scheduled on a
okay.
Maybe on the 12th or something when we've got a short list of other priorities that we could discuss that.
All right.
Okay.
And I think we have nods for that one to do
yes.
That as well. So.
Yes, sir.
And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner
Seidel? I just wanted to go back to Jerry for a second. As y'all know, I was on the Utility Advisory Board for 6 years, and I really learned a lot from Jerry. And Jerry's one of the people that, you know, suggested that I look at running for the commission after I'd been on the board. And so, you know, Jerry, I'm going to miss you a lot. I'm glad you're still here. But he's really, you guys, when you look around at what's happened with the electric utility, Jerry's really the one that has done a great job putting us in the financial position that we're in to move forward and a great job in the future. He's really brought some innovative ideas to the table that a lot of people have looked to the city of Winter Park to follow. So I just did want to commend Jerry and the great job he's done. Again, and also thank him for, you know, being involved. So thank you.
Anything else? Nope. Randy, thank you. City Attorney's Report, Larry?
Yes, I need to talk about the Fifth Third Bank issue with Matsby Properties and the Helsbys. I understand that folks from Matsby may have contacted some of you. The developer's agreement between the city and the bank, Fifth Third Bank, was entered into in the second meeting in August. And at that time, I apparently must have misunderstood because I was dealing with my associate, Ms. Pham, and I was under the understanding that the attorneys had worked it out. When I went back and, you know, did the analysis of all the emails and everything, they kept saying they're very close, and there's one issue that keeps them apart. And so I guess regardless of focusing on that issue, the question is, what does the city want to do about that issue. Frankly, is that an exaction or a condition that the city thinks it can maintain until two private parties work out a private easement deal? I certainly have had conversations with the parties trying to help them come to an agreement. In fact, most recently I spoke to the bank's attorney and gave him some suggestions as to how they might bridge the last remaining issue. But with that said, I think they're here and they'd like to address the commission, both parties.
Sure. Why don't we do that so we can kind of move forward? Mr. Baker, would you like to address from the bank's perspective?
Mr. Mayor, before we do that, can I have a summary on where we left it, what the last action was?
Are you talking about the one issue, the one item?
Yeah, just how did we leave that? Because I wasn't prepared to. I didn't go back to research and refresh my memory. I know my decision was based on Larry saying that.
We were going to try to help those private parties come to a private cross-access easement agreement, and I was going to bring it back to you when I received word that they had worked it out. Of course, I was very concerned that if that was never, that we would have exposure to the bank because they're fully, you know, they're vested and entitled to permit except for this one issue. And so the question is, how long do you allow that one issue to hold them up on their development?
What did we put in the development agreement? That's what I don't remember.
What we put in the development agreement is that the parties would work out a private or a mechanism for developing a private cross-access agreement within 2 years. And we left it at that. And then I think the commission directed me to try to help them come to an agreement, and we got very close. And then it was tabled at their request. The parties requested tabling at the August 10th meeting. Then it came back on the agenda for the second meeting. So I asked my associate to check with the attorneys, have they reached an agreement? And I've handled two jury trials since then.
What
was in the development? That was that issue.
They have 2 years to.
Yes, to negotiate. To
negotiate. Does it say that we hold anything up in that time, or
no?
Do we just move forward.
Yes.
So we have 2 years. What does that mean?
And again, Arthur Baker, law firm Baker Hostetler, 200 South Orange Avenue, Suite 2300, Orlando, Florida 32801. Here today on behalf of Fifth Third Bank with my colleague, Mr. Joe Roberts. But to clarify, the terms in the developer's agreement that was approved on August 24th. States that we're at an impasse regarding the commercial reasonable discretion in that negotiation. And what was duly approved includes the additional condition of approval that had occurred on May 11, 2015, as well as knowing it's at an impasse. So I know there's been some miscommunication regarding its approval on the 24th, but it doesn't change the fact that it was duly approved. It contains an accurate statement that we are at an impasse regarding some of our negotiations, potential cross-access, but you know the result's right. We've been at this for almost 5 months now. April 27th is the first day we were before you. And we think that you know holding up or you know, the fact that we have to address this again today, a developer's agreement between Fifth Third Bank and the City of Winter Park for the benefit of a private party, frankly, any reassessment is close to an unlawful exaction, especially that's in this chapter statute is going to be revised October 1st. Chapter 7045. So I'm here to address or answer any questions you might have regarding any confusion there might be. I'm happy to step through a timeline of what we've done. I think that's not really necessary at this point, but I'm happy to answer more questions. I just think that you know this matter has been done, it was duly approved, it contains accurate statements, and you know we're happy to continue working with the Helsbys as good neighbors, but this development agreement's done and approved.
Great. Any questions for the applicant?
Sure, I've got a question. What did you agree to do originally, and what is the obstruction to coming to an agreement between the two of you?
As was in the additional condition of approval on May 11th, we had the additional condition of approval that in Fifth Third Bank's commercial reasonable discretion, we'd enter into an agreement for access within 2 years of that approval date. And per Mr. Brown's suggestion at that hearing, we were asked offline to discuss a private agreement that would help refine and define what commercial reasonable discretion is. We've spent countless hours and countless dollars the last 5 months trying to articulate that and define that. We've gone back and forth multiple negotiations and multiple drafts. We've been before you at multiple commission hearings. We've been tabled at the July 13th hearing per your request that we could have additional discussions. At the August 10th hearing, we unilaterally reached out to counsel for the Helsbys requesting table the matter so we continue negotiations or start an impasse. The developer's agreement that was duly approved states we're at an impasse. I think this matter is done, should continue to move forward. And I apologize that we have to keep, you know, addressing it.
Thank you. Any other questions from you? No. Would the other additional party care to address the commission?
I am Kathy Helsby. I'm representing Matsby. And in order to be succinct and not waste your time, I wrote everything down. So I'm just going to be very boring and just read it. Okay.
It's fine.
I'd like to thank the commissioners and the mayor for readdressing the issue tonight. I think the commission made a very important decision based on inaccurate information as a result of a miscommunication. The best I can figure out is that on August 10th, it was announced that this issue would be addressed in 2 weeks at the August 24th meeting. On August 14th, an email was sent to both parties from the city announcing that it would be tabled until the parties came to an agreement. I think that whoever was in charge of creating the agenda for August 24th did not get this message, and it was never removed from the agenda. When it appeared on the agenda on August 24th, Attorney Brown assumed that it was on the agenda because both parties had come to an agreement. The commission, he informed the commission that agreement had been reached when it had not, and the commission then voted on an erroneous information and made a decision based on that. I found the process of coming to an agreement with the bank very frustrating and very expensive, and I'm sure the bank, obviously, they feel the same way. I do not think that a multi-million dollar corporation with lawyers on retainer can be forced to do anything they don't want to do. We have reached an impasse, I will agree with Arthur, that we have, and I don't think it's possible to come to an agreement at this point. That being said, I think it would be at a loss if nothing was gained over the last 3 months of negotiations. And I would like to propose a compromise to the commission and the mayor. I strongly feel that it's important for traffic and our neighbors on Phelps and Edwin to have this access. The bank is equally against granting the easement because they aren't sure what's going to be developed on the property next door. During our negotiations over the past 3 or 4 months, there was one important item that we both came to an agreement on. This was a layout that was proposed by the bank, not us, as to the best location for an easement. It was on the northwest corner of their property. I propose that the commission and the mayor mandate that this location be dedicated to parking. When our property is developed, the adjacent area that would connect could also be designated as parking. It will then be up to the two property owners at some time in the future to negotiate or to create or not to create the connection. By planning for the future now, a connection could be made that would be easily done and inexpensive. Situations and ownership change, and if this pre-planning was done, an easement in the future could still be possible. In the original plans I saw, the traffic in this area was going west only. This is on the north side of the property. The layout was just in one direction. In the revised plan the bank gave to us, there were changes so that traffic could potentially go both ways. I brought a picture to put on the overhead. I don't know how to work an overhead.
Someone can help.
Yeah, we will get that.
I would like the commission to ensure that these changes in the dedicated parking spots are made so the future connection would be possible at minimum expense if and when both parties find it favorable to do so. Although this is less than what I had hoped for, I believe it's a reasonable solution for both parties, and this would allow the bank to move ahead and develop the property.
It's on working, right? So you can go ahead and prepare themselves.
This was the layout that the bank gave us proposing. This is on the northwest corner up here, that people from our property could go either way or the bank could go through ours. So they opened this up and they made it two-way. This is where I would like this designated as parking. This was the original layout that they had. They had a dumpster here, which I understand they moved over here, and the traffic was one way only. So in our negotiations, they went and made it possible so that in the future, somebody could come through there. So what I'm proposing is we label it parking, we stop the fighting and the legal bills, we agree that it's going to be parking here, it's going to be parking on our side, and then 3 years, 5 years, whatever, those two parties can get together and figure it out. Because by then the bank will know more what's going to be next to them.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, I thought in the last layout they brought before the commission, those were parking spaces. Is that not correct?
Correct. As part of that, we were going to...
Mr. Baker, would you step forward, please? I'm sorry, we just have to get it on the record.
Right, that's correct, but it's not just as simple as automatically agreeing to access easement. This would cause our property to lose parking spaces, so in some of the negotiations, which again, were privileged and confidential, there were aspects of trying to find a net gain, or a net equality of the parking spaces.
I guess that my question was more, I thought the final plans that you guys submitted had parking spaces in there. Is that not the case? Because I thought you had moved the dumpster previously, and that was brought before us, and they have parking spaces.
Correct. There were parking spaces.
So the current approved plan should accommodate what you're asking for. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, the current approved plan would cause us to lose parking spaces in that vicinity. And some of our negotiations discussed parking spaces on their property or other.
Right. No, I follow that. I just thought the last plan I saw from y'all, there were two parking spaces where the connection was.
They would lose parking spaces if and when the easement was ever...
My point was those parking spaces were there already, the ones you're asking us for.
So we're not talking about moving a building or anything.
Correct.
We're not talking about moving a building. In the future, you would have to negotiate.
But again, this is something we've been discussing for 5 months, and I think we're still happy to continue private negotiations.
Gosh, let me take a stab at this. Excuse me, Mr. Baker. Thank you. Yes, I think there was a hesitancy, at least from some members of this commission, to enter into this in the first place. This is between two private property owners. Larry, I'm going to ask the city attorney if you felt that both parties operated in good faith to try to reach this agreement. It sounds like there's been back and forth. I know you've been involved. We should not be up here negotiating between two private property owners at this.
Through this process, I tried to see if staff had any basis in the evidence. This was quasi-judicial at one point. Now there's a contract, but basically, was there a problem or a deficiency in a parking study? Was there any basis for the city to have a policy interest in requiring a cross access? And staff repeatedly, with that invitation, said there is none. And the data doesn't support that as a requirement.
So, Larry, let me ask you this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If there is not data supporting the city's involvement in these proceedings, as Mr. Baker correct, because I believe there is, that given the change of the law on October 1st, this creates a little bit of a sticky issue for the city.
Yes. I mean, they're really vested. They have a right to get a permit and build, but this issue has been hanging them up, and it can be viewed as a purely private issue, and the Helsbys are very nice people making very reasonable requests for help, but the question is, you know, it may not be the city's role without liability to assist them in that regard. I hope the city, you know, will request a Fifth Third Bank that they honor the statements, and that as good neighbors, they continue to work in good faith with their neighbor, and I think they will. I saw good faith on both sides when we had a meeting in my office. But I've done everything I can do to, you know, you can't force two people to reach an agreement.
So, Larry, let me ask you this: can I move this development agreement proceed?
Well, the development agreement was already entered.
I understand, but we can't hold it up. So.
You can ratify the action previous, and that would be an appropriate motion to ratify the development agreement that was already entered at the second meeting in August.
August 24th?
Yes. Correct.
Thank you. And that the developer be entitled to his permits, you know, in accordance with municipal code.
Excellent. Commissioner Sutton, were you still?
I would like us to see the final approved site plan. Is that not available to us to see? Does anybody have that?
We have the approved site plan.
Is that something that can be gotten for us in short
term? There's nothing in this agenda packet, and you're asking us to go back and revisit something, and we have absolutely no data to even look at, refresh our memory.
They will have to build according to a permit, which will be allowing them to build according to their site plan. So they'll have to develop And that's not a commission issue. That's frankly a staff.
No, I understand. But we made a decision based on a piece of information that we were given that was inaccurate.
Right.
And that is the and the reason this conversation came up is because there were, at least for myself, I did look at this as any time we can connect commercial or retail along major state arteries, anytime we can connect those so that there's less coming and going staggered in an acceleration lane along a major state road, I did see it as a public benefit. So for myself, my decision to vote yes was because I had an assurance from staff that we're going to go forth and play nice together and try to come up with something that works. So
I stated, it was my understanding at that time, and I was obviously incorrect. I kept getting reports back, we're close, there's one issue, and I understand.
Quite frankly, had you given me different input, I may have been the only person who would have voted that way. I can't say how my colleagues would have voted, but for me, I did see a public benefit. So I was happy to hear that.
If I could comment to that, Commissioner Cooper's comment later, please.
Certainly.
Thank you. Very briefly, I looked throughout the city's code and comp plan, and I don't see a policy in there or anything in the development code that, and I have seen other cities that recognize the importance and value of private cross-access easements as you get commercial development stacked along major arterial roads. I think everyone's familiar with that. In many cities, you don't have to get out on the main road. You can go from one parking lot to the next. I could find nothing in your code that announces that as a paramount value. So here we have, yes, it's a great policy decision, but there's nothing in the code to support.
Nor was there any information presented during what you've seen thus far that supports that.
That's right, and I requested that of staff. Yes, sir.
Vice Mayor Schmeichel.
And as I recall, that night when we voted, you guys weren't here, were you?
No.
That's right. So I remember when it came in front of us that you were not here, and I thought everything was hunky-dory, okay? Because that was what we were led to believe, and we didn't vote thinking that was the way things were. So I remember being relieved that it had all been handled, and it was all in great shape, and we could vote and move ahead. I don't even know what provision there is, Larry, for us to do anything differently at this point. I didn't think you could.
Yeah, I have a site plan from May 11th on my computer that shows that area.
Hold on, Mr. Commissioner, yeah. If you wouldn't mind.
I might as well
address
process.
Commissioner Springer.
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes. I mean, I didn't think you could come back.
If you had an appropriate set of facts,
right,
and a majority of the commission, since I think the support was unanimous, you all voted in favor of it, you could vote to reconsider, and you could rescind based upon false information or incorrect information. That's theoretically possible. But in this case, on these facts, I would caution you that let's assume I had told you August 24th, no, they're not in agreement. I've done everything I can, and they still won't agree. I'm not sure legally that you're in a very good position to continue to deny the bank permission to move forward. So we got two issues here. One is, yes, we messed up in our misunderstanding. The second thing is, as my friend Ivan says, you're a damn Barclays, you know. What does it, you know, you really, what legal basis do you have to continue to hold up the bank as leverage for them to acquiesce to whatever the Maxby property is going to be?
Great. Then what I'd like to do is move to ratify this agreement.
Are there parking spots in those places?
Yeah, the plans that I have show.
Hold on a second. I have a motion on the table. If there's no second, then we can move on to questions.
I'll second that for discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Seidel, I'm sorry, Commissioner
McMahon. No, that's right. I was hoping, do we have the site plan?
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
I could say I am in agreement that it's time to move forward and the bank to move forward. It's been held up too long. But I just would like to see those parking spots made so that in the future they can talk about it again.
And again, that's a private conversation we're willing to enter into. It's been over 5 months with multiple tablings on our request, for your request, negotiations continue.
Thank you.
I mean, this is another effort to...
We understand, but we did vote on that information, so you need to cut us a little break here.
No, that's correct. And despite the miscommunication, the fact of the matter, what was approved and voted on clearly states there is an impasse, and it was factually accurate, reflecting what the development agreement contained.
Thanks, Mr. Baker. Commissioner McMahon.
That was the approved site plan with the condition of the dumpster being relocated because it was in the backyard of folks' homes. Mm-hmm. So.
And when we did that, Jeff, we put two parking spots over there. When we moved the dumpster, so we didn't lose any spaces, we put parking there.
Yeah,
we moved
the dumpster over.
So that possibility still exists.
Well, it's correct. It's not unreasonable preclusion.
You're fine. And so the dumpster is there, there's parking spots there, and that is the approved plan as we sit here today.
Parking or grass, either.
Right, either one. And so the mayor's motion is essentially to approve the developer's agreement that is based on this plan with those revisions. Is that?
That is where it was to ratify the approval from August 24th.
Right, which had dumpster moved and had. Correct. So it's a slightly different site plan than this, but that's your motion.
And let me say, I'm hopeful that we can work this out over the course of the coming years, but we do need to move forward because I also think it puts us in a precarious state from a legal perspective to hold this up any further. Yeah.
But I think the Helsbys need to understand that the approved site plan does not show any impediment to a future, I don't think. Am I correct, Mr. Baker?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. To a future discussion.
I just want to make sure this is the final one. I have no idea.
I thought you said that you were a paper guy.
Well, that's what I
thought. We opened the meeting saying you're a paper guy.
Yeah.
This is the site plan I have from our May 11th.
Yeah, it's not, that's got the...
Right.
And
it's got the
parking spaces.
Right.
Right. And we purposely had a design that it wouldn't be an unobtrusive obstruction, change it, modify it.
So I think that addresses your question. That was my point.
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, this was the site plan that we're doing, and this allows for that future access that someone can pay for.
And the bank will know what's going on in this spot.
Same as we stated in that.
I think we're just ratifying. I don't think with ratification we need
it's to. Not, yeah, but I'd say in caution it's more than ministerial.
Okay.
Sorry to say.
That's fine. There's no ratification for ministerial. That's fine. Thank you all. But if you wouldn't mind having a seat, and we will have discussion up here. Is there any further discussion before we take public comment? That's great. Anyone wishing to address the commission on this item, please step forward. Great. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to public comment. Are you all ready to vote?
Thanks.
I hate that we're stuck in the middle of this. I hate that they're in an impasse, but I think it's very dangerous for us to continue to withhold this.
I do have one last comment, and that comment is to Mr. Knight. I think that this issue, as we become more dense, is important, that cross-connection of commercial and retail. And if staff could look at that, if there is a policy, if we do need to do something in our codes and our policy so that we don't put this on private individuals, it would certainly be nice if you just look at it and see if it makes sense for us.
I think I would nod to that. I think you have nods on here to do that.
Great. Thank you.
Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
A yes vote is appropriate.
Yes.
Thank you.
Just checking. Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Larry?
Yes. No. Larry, I hate to go to item two if that took so long on your report. You got anything else?
No, sir.
There's no such thing as an appropriate vote.
Any questions for the city attorney on any other item?
No.
No? Great. Thank you. John? This was a request of the commission to hear from John as the master plan on the parks. Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Several meetings ago, it was your request during a budget discussion for a review of our Parks and Recreation master plan, just to make sure that we were bringing it along as we should be with our funding and our budgets. This is our master plan, so I'm not going to read this to you tonight, and it's in the whole presentation, but that's the equivalent of what it is. It's a very in-depth master plan, so
got a are we following it? I'm just guessing.
Yes, as you will find out shortly.
John, may I ask a quick question before
Certainly.
We start? I know we turn over advisory board members on an annual basis. Are they taken through this plan? Can they be taken through this plan?
They certainly can.
I think even just an overview of it, just so they're aware of, to Commissioner Cooper's point, I think it's important that we follow this plan. If we need to make adjustments along the way, that's fine. But I think everybody just needs to be aware.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. This is a PowerPoint presentation. I hope I can get it. I apologize for the blue wording in here. I know Clarissa has told us not to use that, and unfortunately you'll find out why in a minute.
Or the black background, not the yellow.
The Parks and Recreation Master Plan is an overall view and evaluation of parks and recreation facilities, provides direction for our maintaining an acceptable level of service and facilities for today's citizens and future. The history of the Master Plan, this plan was done in 2008 at a cost of $101,000, and it was done by Wade Trim, which is a local design firm that did it, and put it together for us. The plan before that was 14 years old and was done in 1994, so it was time to do it. For some reason, there seems to be somewhat of a history of running a little bit late on doing our master plans, but overall they get done. The comprehensive plan is now recommending that the master plan be updated, not a new plan, but updated every 5 years. We are currently 2 years past that recommended date. So we have been putting funding toward that and proposing it in our budgeting, but have never really come up with the amount of funds to get it done. Now, we can certainly explore that as to what consists of an update, taking this existing document and working it through staff or with hiring a consultant to help us with it. It's certainly got a different options, and I'll work through that and bring you a proposal on how we can do that. The master plan recommendations, I know these are a little hard maybe for the audience to see, but these are some of the items that were proposed in this document. Quite a substantial list of it, going from land acquisition and future parks needs. You'll see in just a minute the projection that Wade Trim made in doing this, and certainly the master plan wanted us to maintain the 10 acres per 1,000 residents. Considered using bond issues for park upgrades, which is something that we have certainly brought forward on several occasions. The development of new parks and operation resources, the budget process must assure the essential needs are met, which we've been doing. Evaluation to adjust the user fee for the cost of services. We just completed that, which we do twice a year. The master plan here does have quite an extensive research of adjoining city and their recreational fees and facility fees. Utilize the Florida species in our landscaping, which we are certainly doing. To reevaluate the impact fees. Right now, our impact fees are $2,000 per net new living unit. So with all the developments that we are getting around the area, we are seeing some growth in our impact fee fund. So, but 7 years ago, when we were looking at doing that, it was recommended that we raise our impact fees, and we started a study to take a look at that, and actually ended up canceling that study somewhat short of getting any results out of it. But
why is that?
Funding, I guess, commission, I believe it was commission direction to stop doing that, but we'll certainly be able to look at it if that's the commission's recommendation. Pursue grant funding, which is something that we certainly continue to do. And the fine arts programs, we do quite a few programs that are new. Now, keep in mind that this is this master plan was done before the new community center. So there are expand our social programming. We were lucky enough to hire a consultant in our pre-planning of the community center that did all the focus groups with the neighborhoods and the focus group study needs assessments and such.
And they hit it right on the head. They really did. One of the directions that we had was not to duplicate services with the library or any other facilities that we had around here. We did that, did it very successfully. If you haven't been down to the community center in a while and seen all the programs going on, it's just amazing to see a busy facility that is really booked out for programming. Increase access to lakefronts. That's a little difficult to do with the limited access that we have. I can't even read this now.
I don't think the audience
has
it.
Yeah. But the last one there is
it's hard to see.
Expand the
it says increase bicycle and pedestrian access to the parks.
Yes, we're working on that. As you know, there's trails that are always coming about, the KUA trail with the completion of the St. Andrews ditch will give us access from KUA trail out to Aloma. So we are looking at that type of programming all the time.
Yeah, pursuing the energy conservation technologies and design also.
Yes, we are making many changes in that. Certainly the facilities maintenance is helping us with that. We are converting a lot of our potable water sources of irrigation to well water and getting off the potable water system, which is saving us a ton in water utility bills. So we are looking at things like that as per the master plan.
The last item is the expansion of facilities.
Yeah, can you tell us where we are?
If you see all this list of things, multi-purpose fields, basketball court, all the different things that it lists here.
Six boat ramps.
Now this is all according to SCORP, which is the national or the standard for facilities, recreational facilities. However, it as Wade Trim predicted that our population in Winter Park would be 37,500 in 2028, and that's what all this is based on. Plus, it's asking us to get another 79 acres of park property. So we're running real, you know, not quite the 37,500 population. We're a long way from that. The population growth hasn't been as rapid as they predicted it would be.
Okay.
The three main things that I wanted to discuss today: improve and expand park maintenance to meet the demand. We have made some operational changes in our structure and are very happy with the way we have reorganized our department. I now have two assistant directors instead of three. We've streamlined it a little bit. We've got a lot of different positions now. We've with two main employee retirements, we have saved enough funding to add five part-time park attendants to keep people in the parks on the weekends for customer service and being there when we need things. Like this weekend when we had a bride and groom and our park ranger get locked in the Mead Garden dressing room for their wedding. So their wedding ran a little bit late, but we did end up getting them out. Upgrade the existing facilities and parks. We are doing that all the time. The next plans, I think you'll see what we're doing in that. Operation and maintenance upgrades for our parks.
So we have five new part-time partnering. Did I hear you say
that? Yes, that's what we're getting. So they'll be in the parks each weekend.
Did you call them rangers?
They are rangers. They're part-time park attendants, actually.
That's I wanted to
yes.
Say.
We will still have a ranger running around through the parks, opening up and keeping the restrooms clean and doing everything that they do. But these park attendants will take a load off of them.
Great.
So this is the, I chose only to go with one master plan, conceptual plan that they did in the master plan. It's a Showalter KUA Ward Park facility. This may seem a little confusing to you because there is a school, if you see it in the KUA property over there. It came as a back in 2007 when it was under discussion with Glenridge, Brookshire.
to move across the street on our property, do an exchange, and us put a multi-purpose field over on their property. So that did not really materialize. So we had to move on with what this plan was. The parking area has been a major concern throughout the thing. There is, it's inadequate parking at periods of time during the day. Normally when teams are switching, when one group of kids is times up on a field and another kid group gets there, that double up in parking is where we have the problem. There's adequate parking for just when a team shows up and no one follows them to it. But if you see that, the blue parking is proposed parking in the master plan that has been completed. The red parking is currently currently parking lots that we are working on, and they're under construction. Public Works is working on the one in the lower right-hand side there, and the upper left-hand side is on their future development. Now, the green stripe along the left-hand side there, halfway up, is the St. Andrews ditch. When that ditch gets piped and the KUA Trail Extension covers that, it will open an access for a substantial amount of parking. So that will be in addition to what we currently have on the drawing board out there.
John, can you tell me, based on this site plan, including the red circles, how many parking spaces we have on site?
I thought about ballpark. Ronnie, would you say 250?
Yeah. Okay, and then the additional green would add?
Probably another 125.
Okay, great.
So there could
where
be
some. Are those green ones? I'm trying to.
Well, there's one
relative
small skinny
to,
green one.
Yeah, relative to the Four Seasons.
It's right behind
the wall. Right behind their wall.
There's a ditch back there now.
Okay.
And this is.
Right, they're going to fill that in, okay.
Right, that ditch is going to be piped, and the KUA Trail Extension is going to be placed on it and turn right there on the property and go north on St. Andrews out to Aloma.
Thank you very much. And the parking is on, what's on that property right now?
Nothing.
It's a dirt road.
It's an access road.
Okay.
We have recently relocated the fencing of our maintenance compound closer to the compound to allow all-time access through that area into there. So when there's a game or something, or there's overflow parking that is required, we do allow people now to park in those areas.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you. Thanks.
This again is the original plan. If you can see, there's three ball fields that you see recommended there, four counting the one behind Showalter Field, or to the east of Showalter Field that we call Showalter East. That's what they recommended. So there were four fields in the master plan. This is what we actually have today and are working on. The green fields exist and are currently being used. There's six of those. The red block to the east of Showalter East is in the works right now. That pond, retention pond, is scheduled to be filled, and that field is scheduled to be expanded onto that to make two fields. The lighting is currently going on field number 9, which is underneath that little white sign that says in progress. And on the back of those lights will be the lighting for the upgrading of the Showalter East field. So the Showalter East field 1 and 2 will now become much better for recreational use and lighting. We'll have full Musco lighting on each of those. Restroom facilities.
John, I'm sorry. Would you just go back one quick? Right next to the, I know Showalter East, but it's that green rectangle next to the red rectangle. Is there an opportunity to possibly move that field back and create additional parking where you're currently working on the parking lot? Because there's a lot of dead space between your maintenance building and that field now. I mean, I just know because the lacrosse kids are out there playing a lot. There's a lot of dead space back there.
We can look at that.
Okay.
I know some of
or create another field.
Some of the property on the north end of that is kind of a swale, okay. A drainage swale there between the field and our maintenance building.
Okay.
That might be looked at. That could be rethought.
Okay.
Didn't we during our budget process that we're going to talk about again today, did not we allocated funds for taking a look at MLK? I thought we also allocated funds for upgrading this plan. Is that, or did we just do MLK?
Just MLK.
Yeah, because I mean, okay.
I think we can have at least the advisory board look at this too.
Yeah, look at this one too, because again, when you're working off a master plan that still has an elementary school there, we're working off.
There might be some other space.
Might be, yeah. And so, anyways, I'm sorry, Don, go ahead.
That's okay.
Thank you, sir.
Again, it is 2 years past due. Restroom facilities. The blue restrooms are existing restrooms that we have now. You'll see they're spread out through the property that we use. The two white arrows indicate brand new restroom facilities that are in the works here with the planning. They should be constructed within the year, both of them. The blue arrow on the far top of the page there is a facility that is there, existing, and will be remodeled and probably repurposed more for ladies' restroom there. It seems that we have quite a parity in the restroom situation at the field. So that we're hoping to remodel. We're not going to tear down that restroom because it is still a good restroom. We're just going to repurpose it and maybe make it a little bit better for the ladies.
I want to remodel with some C4, John.
Yeah.
That needs a little bit of help.
Or a D9. That's a...
Yeah, some of the addition improvements, what I mentioned there, the new field lighting on number 9, softball field, the new lighting on Showalter East, the refurbishment of the existing baseball restrooms. These are priorities that we have now, improvements to Ward Park drainage and the environmental area. There is some information that should be coming forward here shortly regarding the YMCA that's going in. We have requested some...
What do you mean they're going in?
The health center.
What's that?
For the health center.
Yes, the health center, yes. So we have made that park, Ward Park, available to their design team to look at and see what could be done. So we're saving some money on possibly getting some ideas on that interchange. So, and that basically concludes... my update of this portion of the master plan. Now, if you want me to go through all the rest of them,
that's good.
We'll be happy to.
I do have a question.
At some other day.
The page, go back to the page that says new field lighting, Showalter. How much of this is already in the budget, and what is the price tag of what is not?
All of it.
All in the budget.
Yes.
Good. Perfect. Thank you.
Commissioner Seidel.
How many schools do we coordinate with to use this park?
Well, we have a 40-year lease with Winter Park High School or Orange County Public School System for Showalter Field. They have direct control over the fenced-in area of the Showalter Field Stadium, and as part of that contract, they have parking use of our fields during their events. Otherwise, they are for our use.
Do we coordinate with Rollins on this field at all? Do they use it at all?
No, they have in the past. We've been talking with Rollins about doing some expansion and maybe some joint use of some fields. I know they are looking for some lacrosse practice fields. So we're working very closely with them.
Okay, thanks.
Are they in the discussions right now on the renegotiation of the lease for Showalter?
Yes, they are.
And right now that's considered the Winter Park High School field, even though it's our field. They've used it for how many years, Showalter Field?
I think they're, 28 years into the agreement?
Into the agreement. They used it as a stadium before that.
Yes.
Before that. So it's not their field, but they think of it and everybody sees it as their field.
Yes.
That's something that we have to be really aware of as we move forward.
Yeah. As the agreement stands right now, it is the responsibility of Orange County Public School Systems to maintain that stadium and the field and the locker rooms and everything on the property.
But we got another one coming.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else? No.
Nope.
Hang on one second. That's all, John. That's all I had.
Okay. That concludes thank my you presentation.
Yes, thanks. John, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I do have a question. Gosh, I just hate that when I don't think of it right away. We're talking focused here on Showalter Field, but a lot's going on over on Martin Luther King Park. So do you have a comparable plan for Martin Luther King Park or not?
I don't think we have a we do have a conceptual for it, so if you want me to do a quick
I wouldn't mind this going into the commissioner's Dropbox for other information.
Okay.
If somebody could put this in the Dropbox, I'd appreciate it. And I guess the question is, you know, as we move forward, should we be talking about Martin Luther King? And
I thought we did. To interrupt, I thought we pulled some money out of the CRA for an update of the master plan of Martin Luther King. And that's why I was confused. That was so, thank you, Dory.
Thank
but yes, we
thank
did
you very much.
In the
okay.
upcoming fiscal budget.
So we will see
have
something
a conceptual of Martin Luther King Park
in the
master plan.
Wade Trim. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you,
John. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
we'll
you,
take
Dory.
Some comments at five, closer to the 5 o'clock hour. In front of us, we have the consent agenda.
Yeah, I need to pull something off.
Okay, Christopher.
Okay, let me see where they are. Sorry.
Okay.
I wanted to pull off B2, C, and F. I just have questions.
That's okay. Anything else?
And you hit a couple of my questions, so I'm going to move for approval of the rest of the agenda.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, we'll open the floor to public comment on this. Anyone wishing to address the commission on items 9 outside of B2, C, and F? Okay, seeing none, you guys ready to vote?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Commissioner Sprinkle, B2?
B2 is the 90-day extension for Waste Pro. Tell me what that's about.
We're in the process of going out to bid. Their contract was for 7 years, and we're at the end of that contract. But by the time we get through the RFP process, it will technically expire, so we're doing a 90-day extension so that we can get through the entire bid process.
So we're in process right now of not running out, but you were afraid it was going to run out, so you got 90 more days
right.
just to be sure. I figured that's what it was, but I was just trying to understand it. Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner, if you all are okay, I'll hold these until we just deal as one.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, I have a quick follow-up question.
Sure.
Are we as a commission going to see the RFP before it goes out?
Certainly can.
We traditionally don't. I mean, it goes out from staff. And
well, I guess I've had a few people come talk to me about things they'd like to see in the RFP, and so I guess it's more of...
Have they come to you from providers?
No.
Earlier on, one was... I want to say, and we just had a discussion on it, and that was a meeting that was scheduled here about 3 months ago, I think.
Okay.
Before the RFP went up, and then
I think there was someone on the sustainability board that I met with also. And I guess, Randy, I think it would kind of be nice for them to present what they're going to be requesting to the commission, so we can just see if they have any comments. Or it sounds all good, and there were some kind of questions that. I had on it, but it's you know, there's a lot of issues associated with it.
Yeah. A lot of public interest.
I don't need a presentation. I think if you'd like to talk to staff, certainly feel free. I mean, unless we'll
send it to you, and if you have questions, you can.
Yeah, well, get a presentation, right?
I would be willing to support hearing from it.
You can certainly get a copy of it from staff if you'd like it. I see no need for a presentation.
Okay. I just thought it'd be nice to hear from the public if they want to.
A copy of it?
Yeah, I guess if I want some proposed changes, I just coordinate with the staff, or do
well, I think just bring them back up to the commission level.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. To you,
Commissioner.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Randy.
Sprinkle 9C.
Okay. C was my question about the cycle track improvements, and it talks about the building interactive voice response software. So I'm driving down that road today, and I'm thinking, is this what it's going to look like forever? So tell me what we are doing, what is going on with this, so that I know exactly what we've approved and what our goal is in you know, 6 months or whatever. What are we doing?
Are you talking about specifically the IVR software?
That at this Katie Way cycle track, yes. What is that?
Two separate things there, right?
Yeah.
In one budget
adjustment. Yeah, that's right.
So the cycle track is what it looks like today is what it's going to look like.
Okay. And forever?
Yes.
So it's done.
It's done.
It's changed.
Right.
Unless we find out, are we doing something to figure out that this is a good idea?
Right.
Okay. We're not just going to put it up there and then not measure it, right? We're going to find out how many people are using it. We've got something in place, right? Okay, and you're going to give us that feedback at some point. So that doesn't have anything to do with the next item, then. I guess that's why I was going.
Right, there were two things on one
side. Okay, so tell me what the building interactive IVR is going to do. It doesn't have anything to do with the cycle track.
Right.
No, that would be very odd, yes. They're both in the same budget amendment. I mean, this is pretty much just record keeping to make sure our systems are operating fine. But our IVR is basically where citizens can call in, they can schedule permitting, they can check on the status of permits. So you can go online, you can come see our desk, or you can call in. And we process probably around 13,000 to 15,000 calls that way through that system annually. So this is to upgrade that system.
I'm with you now. It was putting it by the other one that made me confused. I'm so sorry. All right.
And then you also pulled...
everybody else is happy with that? Okay. Yeah, F is about the benefit shop. So I've had a number of people ask me on Saturday mornings what all those things are hanging outside the city hall, because we, I guess, don't have any rules about what you can hang outside city hall for the benefit shop. And I'm just curious to know if we need to start thinking about the benefit shop's location there and whether or not it's a good idea to have that kind of look like a garage sale on Saturday morning. So people have said something to me about it, so I'm saying something here, okay?
I would agree.
You get total support from me for not having anything outside City Hall, but in respect to the benefit shop, I would appreciate it, Randy, if you would make everyone aware of how we got to this place, because they had the property where the Chamber of Commerce is.
But that doesn't mean they have to have
anything outside. I want all sandwich boards and all outside advertising to go away.
Do we have three nods to at least work into the lease, Randy, that there's nothing hanging outside? Can we do that?
Because that's so tacky.
Well, we have to go back on one. Okay, good.
But that won't make up for the clothes and the pots of flowers and the...
Yes, it should.
Well, the pots of flowers...
Everything.
Well
the signboards can... I mean, the sandwich sign can stay because we allow those on Park Avenue for restaurants and whatnot.
That's how special events like sidewalk sales. I don't think our sign ordinance allows for there to be clothing or anything else hung outside.
Right, so part of the lease is...
I'm with you on all that. I think the sign is open or whatever.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Until it's passed, though, we have to treat them the same as we would treat anyone else relative to signs. Yeah. But soon we will have that for everyone.
Okay, thank you. I'm fine with all those now. I can
move. I have just one follow-up. My question on the lease, was it the 5-year lease?
It's the 10-year lease.
It's technically a 9-year lease because it's taken us about a year to get the lease going. But it's a 5-year lease with two-year renewals. And we set that period to match the period that we expect to be in City Hall based on the renovations that we made to City Hall a couple years ago.
And renewal after 5, is that our option or the shop's option?
Well, at any point in the contract.
No, I know, but I mean, just theoretically. I mean, I'm fine with the 5-year. It was just...
Combined. Yeah.
9, she said.
Well, it's 5 with two renewals.
Oh.
And it's sort of an option. So after the 5 years, there's a... We all raise our hands and say yay or nay again. Okay.
I'm going to open the floor to public comment on items 9B, 2, C, and F. Seeing none, we will close the floor. Are you all ready to vote?
One question. I want to make sure I understood, Michelle. Based on the amount of time we expect to be in City Hall, can you explain that?
Yeah. You recall back when we were talking about either redoing City Hall or well, actually, building a new City Hall, we're looking at the plan, the possibilities. The commission said, no, let's fix the air conditioning, buy another 10 years for this location. And so that was where the 10 years came from. It's not that we took that as a direction that we're going to tear City Hall down in 10 years, but that's where the 10 years came from.
Thank you.
We're just matching that time.
And the sure does give us an out should something...
If there are conversations going on, I'd certainly like to be aware of it, and I don't want to spring it on the community either about, you know, so I want to be careful about that.
No, that was an old conversation. That was a new one.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Okay. Randy, are you taking a discussion on the city attorney?
Yes. If you recall at the last meeting, we had two options for the city attorney contract in the packet, and the commission directed us to go back and present a third option that would come closer to 120 hours per month. I met with the applicant, or the new attorney that we've selected, and they proposed a three discounted 40-hour tier levels. So there's a 40-hour block at $180 an hour, a 40-hour block at $195 an hour, and a third 40-hour block that's either $215 or $195, depending on which attorney it is. And in each of those blocks, it'll be prorated based on the number of hours that month by each type of attorney. No paralegal or clerical staff will be charged into those 40-hour blocks. That will be separate. So that's the option that's before you, and I think it meets the spirit of what the commission asked us to do at the last meeting.
Larry, that I'm sorry, Steve.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Larry, that's what's listed under new option. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the new option.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Further discussion?
You know, my concern is still the idea that we're capped at 120 hours at that retainer fee when we're currently using an average of 200 hours. And while I appreciate that we would all like to be more efficient and more disciplined, the fact of the matter is that every week we sit across from attorneys making considerable amounts of money representing projects that come before us, and I want to feel comfortable talking to my attorney. I'm not going to feel comfortable talking to my attorney if we're used to spending 200 hours. Anything now over 120 hours is going to cost us $225 an hour, which is still significantly more than the number two firm, which was only 1 point difference. So from my perspective, I'm not comfortable saying that we will do 120 hours and then start paying $225 an hour. So while I respect both firms, I don't want anything to ever inhibit me from asking a question that I feel needs to be asked. And I don't want any director in the city to have that feeling either. So for myself, I just can't go there. But thank you. I have great respect for the firm.
You already know how I feel about this.
I think this has been a generous compromise, and I appreciate city staff working on this with our new partner.
I would encourage us to note that, just as the people that are the new attorneys would have said in here, that we, and I know that this is the role of the city manager to watch it and to bring us back any concern he has with it, and I expect that that's what should happen with it, and I trust them to take care of that from here on out, and it shouldn't be in front of us for that, unless there's an issue.
Let's open the floor to public comment. Anyone wishing to address the commission? Great. Seeing none, close the floor to public comment. Are you all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Would you please read the roll?
Sure. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. We are on to 11A. Jeff. That's true. Larry.
You going to read that then?
Yes. Okay. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Map, so as to establish commercial future land use on the annex property at 1566 West Fairbanks Avenue, and to indicate the annexation on the other maps within the comp plan, more particularly described herein.
Larry, would you do a simultaneous, please?
Yeah. And an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 3, Zoning, and the official zoning map so as to establish commercial C3 zoning on the annex property at 1566 West Fairbanks Avenue, more particularly described herein.
Great.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the ordinance amending the comprehensive plan, and I'd also like to move the ordinance amending the official zoning map.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I second both of those.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Any discussion from the Commission?
No? Just have one quick statement for staff, and I don't know that we would treat this differently if it was a different situation, but if you look at the staff discussion, it says that this property now has the same flu in Orange County as we are putting on the future land use element in Winter Park, therefore there is no change. But there is a significant change in the level of residential density. So I'm not sure going forward how we should look at this, because if I'm not mistaken, and Dory, you probably can help me with this, I think in Orange County, commercial property is only allowed one residential unit per acre the last time I looked at it. I don't know what it is now, or one resident, and we allow 17 residential units per acre. So I think that really is a serious change. So I wouldn't want to say, so there is no change in my report that went to Orange County and my report that went to the Planning and Zoning Board or the Commission. There's, you know, because there is a significant change in density between being commercial in Orange County and being commercial in Winter Park. It just sort of as we move forward, I don't know how to think about that, but it just kind of struck me today. But that's all. Because we notify Orange County, right, when we annex. We don't have to notify Department of Economic Opportunity. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Did we open the floor to public comment? I'm trying to recall if we did. If not, we will open the floor to public comment. Great. Seeing no comment, we'll bring it back home. Any further discussion, Commission? No. Great. Cindy, would you please read the roll on the first ordinance, please, with the comprehensive plan change?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Chair Leary?
Yes. And now on the zoning map?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Jeff?
Okay. The next public hearing is a subdivision or lot split request for the property at 1004 North Pennsylvania Avenue, which is zoned R1A. And they're asking to split this property into four single-family lots. So as you know, when we look at these small subdivisions or lot splits, we do the zoning test, we do the comp plan test. And the zoning test is how does this request meet the requirements of R1A. R1A is where you are supposed to have 75 feet for new lots. And here's the diagram of the split. They are asking to split this into four lots. They would all average 60 feet in lieu of the 75 feet. And so they are asking for a variance then for the 60-foot lot width in lieu of the 75. If they were conforming to the 75, it would be three lots, and they would lose a lot. But in terms of the lot area, R1A says you're supposed to have 8,500 square feet minimum. These lots are between 9,200 and 9,900 square feet, so they are exceeding the R1A minimum.
Just given the depth, they're very deep lots.
But we also look at, especially when we have variances, what are the characteristics in the surrounding area? And the code says, look at the other properties within a 500-foot radius that are the same zoning, and how do those comparables work out? And, of course, it's a little confusing. In this area, you have those cul-de-sacs of Misty Lane and Waterfall Lane, and really where you do the measurements at the front of the house, not the tiny bit of those pie-shaped lots as they hit the street. But basically, if you confine your look to that 500-foot radius, those two subdivisions, Penn Place, Northwood Circle across the street. It's about 75% of the lots, properties meet the R1A, and about 25% don't. But I think a lot of people feel that the comparables are really a little bit further out than the 500 feet. I mean, the neighborhood feels like it should include, at least in the staff's view, all of Northwood Circle and all of Pennsylvania Place, you know, the two Misty Waterfall things, as well as Beloit. So if you get just a little bit further viewpoint out to about 750, 850 feet, then the comparison changes a little bit. It becomes more favorable to the applicant because you have basically 40% of the homes that are comparable widths and 60%, however, that are not. And so when Planning and Zoning Commission looked at this, they recognized that staff was dwelling a lot on the frontage factor, but they felt more comfortable doing the comparisons based on the lot area. In a lot of areas, they have a good comparison. They also had the occurrence that is very rare that we had neighbors who came out in support of the application. When did we ever see that? And so we had a number of people come and support not only the request but the variances. And so that was also persuasive to P&Z. What they are also asking for as a companion part of the request is that they do want to, as we have done in some other instances, establish different setbacks for the subdivision. And again, Pennsylvania Place is a good example of a subdivision where there are different subdivision setback standards than every other place. And so all they are asking for in this case is to have less distance between their houses, between their three houses, 5 and 10 versus 7.5 and 10. There are no changes to the exterior setbacks from the streets or other property lines that we would see. And so P&Z felt comfortable, since the only place the houses were getting closer together was between their own product and not to the outside world, that they were in agreement to recommend those differing setbacks as well as approval of the split, recognizing the variances. So that, I'll see what questions.
Great. Questions for?
What was the staff recommendation on this? I didn't see it in the packet.
Staff recommendation stuck to what the code said, which was the 500-foot radius, and the comparison was not there on width, so the staff recommendation from Dory and I was for denial.
Thank you.
Was there any tree survey done on the site? And I asked because I was out there and the trees are at a set spacing through the site. Some of them appear to be, you know, 36-inch oaks. And was consideration given to the tree locations and setting the lot divides?
No, it was assumed that they were going to follow the normal tree removal process, went through the permitting of the homes. And if they were, you know, distressed, they can come out. If they're quality, they got to do compensation.
Okay.
I'd like to move it.
I'll second it. Further discussion?
Yeah, I have some comments. Tom, did you want to speak?
Yeah, I do.
If you'd like to, hear your comments first, or if you'd like to, you can certainly go ahead, Commissioner.
Doesn't make any difference. We can listen to Becky.
It makes no difference.
Welcome. Thank you. Well, my name is Becky Wilson. I'm with the law firm Lowndes, Drostick, Doster, Cantor, and Reed here on behalf of the contract purchaser. As you may know, the property is currently owned by the Morse Genius Foundation. And I will run you through just some a quick presentation. This is the aerial, just so you and the audience know where it is, where this property is located. As Jeff mentioned, it is zone R1A. This is a street view of the property. This is going, this is on Pennsylvania near the property. As you can see, there is a mix of industrial, there's also recreation, the golf course, further south, and there's also R2, directly to the south of us is R2. And so we are, as Jeff said, R1A. This is
standing on our lot looking across the street, so you get a view of those. They are industrially zoned properties, mostly used for office, and then also the homes across the street there at the Northwood neighborhood. I mean, this is the house that is directly to the east between the golf course and our property. As Jeff showed you the site plan, we are requesting a subdivision for four lots. We are not requesting a variance to the lot size, but to the frontage size, which we're showing an average of about 60 feet, and then also an interior setback. We're not required at this time to produce elevations. As you know, those are incredibly expensive to produce when you don't have an approval, but we are considering the Santa Barbara-inspired design, which fits nicely on these lots. As I said, four lots that are all greater than 9,000 square feet. Your code minimum is 8,500. Each lot would be on an average 60 feet in width. I think some get down to about 58 feet. Interior setback of 5 feet. And then we agreed, both in discussions with staff and at planning and zoning, for a 24-foot wide rear access easement. That's what really makes the smaller lots possible, and it makes them look good because you're not using 12 feet across the front of your lot for a driveway. Instead, you can have nice planted areas. And along the eastern boundary, we have agreed to a 6-foot masonry wall along with a 4-foot landscape buffer. Now, Jeff and I have a gentleman's disagreement on the comp plan test, because he adds everything up and he gives you the medium and the 50% or whatever. That's not what your comp plan says. What your comp plan says is at a size, not frontage, size and density consistent with existing conditions in the surrounding neighborhood within 500 feet. It doesn't say that consistent with means 50% of the neighborhood has to be that. That is a test that staff uses and gives us some useful information, but that's not the standard. The standard is consistent. So we spent some time going out and looking at the property appraiser website as to what all of the frontage is in this area. And it is granted, it is more than just the 500 feet. And so each lot that has a red star on it, they all have 62 feet or less frontage on the road. And we're asking for 60. So I would say 60 and 62 are very comparable, and it's most of this neighborhood. And again, we're also at the edge of this transition. So if we were smack dab in the middle of this neighborhood, maybe a little bit further north on Pennsylvania, we'd get to count all of these. But since the other widths, the 500 feet to the south of us, are industrial office and R2, then we're not able to count those in the compatibility equation that staff uses. In particular, you all would recognize these homes on North Pennsylvania. There are four homes right on the corner of Beloit, and they are as low as 53 feet in width, and this is what they look like. These are great-looking houses. Again, they are using a rear access instead of having the driveways along the front. Also, the Beloit Avenue homes are 50-foot lot widths, and those are all also accessed from the rear. This is some pictures of the rear access that they have, and all very good-looking homes and well-maintained. So our request is for a subdivision for the four lots. The width is shown on the site plan. The interior setback be reduced from 7.5 to 5 feet, and we agree to the requirement for a 20-foot wide access easement across the rear and a 6-foot masonry wall.
If you all have any questions, I'm happy to answer those, and would also just like an opportunity to address any comments from the public.
Of course. Thanks, Becky.
Thanks.
Commissioner McMahon?
The masonry wall we're defining as a block and stucco, as brick, as something, because it could be very, very plain or it could be very, very nice. And as we go through this process, I'm going to lean toward the more nice than the plain block.
That is certainly the intent. Let's not go out there and put out a
plan. And just so that you know, as we go forward, I'm going to offer an amendment to this motion to what P&Z said. And it's really based on the homes that were built across from Farmers Market, where they're on smaller lots, but they're all the same. And they are all the same. It's the same unit reproduced four times. And having that eclectic nature in Winter Park is what we're all about. And so I'm going to offer an amendment to the motion that each one of these, if we do approve this, the amendment would be that each one of these four lots have a, and Larry, you'll have to help me, whether it's individual or unique or whatever the acronym is, to allow that we don't see four of the same thing in a row.
Commissioner, may I ask a question over there?
Certainly.
I think the comparison to Beloit is pretty apt here. So
yeah, and again, those are
broken up. Is that what you're looking for?
That's what I mean. Exactly. I mean, I just
trying to visualize what you're
saying. Yeah, I mean, I'm just as we again as I went down the ones that were built, the townhomes down there, where sure. There was just six or seven of the same thing in a row. That's not what I see in Winter Park is making us unique.
We can agree.
It's
getting there. Yeah, and so it's just that we don't see the four the same thing.
She's agreed.
And so that I'm going to make that. Well, I have to have other folks agree with me.
Yeah, and I just wanted to clarify so we can make that amendment.
And I'd like to use it. And we've kind of gotten away from saying we want to do the kind of landscape plan like we got the Y. So I was trying to stay away from a certain image in town, but I don't know whether the term would be unique or individual or original or what it might be. But I'm going to have Larry help me craft that.
Okay.
When the time comes.
And I ask you, the intent is that it could have the same interior floor plan.
Oh, no, it's the exterior.
Exterior.
Exactly.
And that they be different, but they could relate to one another. I don't want one to have to be Cape Cod.
And that's why I'm going to help.
I use Beloit as an example.
Yeah, I think you're getting my drift. That it's an exterior elevation, and we all drive by, and not seeing four the same elevation in a row is just...
Great.
In this scenario, I couldn't go that way. So,
thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Cooper.
Yes, I actually am in support of staff's recommendation, and I'm going to tell you why. This is R1A property. These are our single-family home lots, and once we start to allow this sort of deviation, which we've done just recently, we didn't used to, but we've done it now, and the problem that I have is staff recommended that it be disapproved, and the reason they recommended it be disapproved is that, number one, it does not comply with our land use codes. The land use codes very clearly require 75 feet. These lots are 60 feet. It does not comply with our comprehensive plan test. The comprehensive plan requires 69.7 feet according to staff, and these are 60 feet. And even if we change the definition of the comprehensive plan here just because we thought we should, it still would not be as wide as the lots that came out as the average. So if we have been misinterpreting the comprehensive plan for, I don't know how long, since 2009, for 6 years or 7 years or how, if it was, I think it was in the land use code way before then. When did we start doing the opportunity? The reason that the average was put in there was to give developers an opportunity to do something less than our code. When did we start doing that, Jeff?
In the mid-1980s.
Okay, so we've been interpreting that particular policy that way since the mid-1980s. So I'm comfortable with that. And I also spent a lot of time recently with the folks at the Central Florida Water Initiative. I know for a fact that we sit on a high recharge area of the aquifer, And it is important for us to have more ground area, more open space, more room for trees. I just don't see a need to go against our comprehensive plan and our land use code in order to allow one more additional unit be built on this property than could be built if we weren't. So for me, I feel like if we are going to, and I'm a little bit confused about P&Z's recommendation. They said it fails to meet the comp plan, it fails to meet the land use code, and oh, by the way, we're going to approve it 7-0. Now, what that says to me is all of a sudden the board...
Does that say that on here, Commissioner? I don't see that they said...
Yeah, it does. It says that it did not meet the comprehensive plan test, and it
Pick
did not... I'm not reading it specifically here. Hold on just a second. I'll find it for you. It says that, in fact, the language was just atrocious to me, quite frankly. It said that they're not going to just look at our comprehensive plan and our land use codes.
Can you tell me?
Yeah, I'm looking for it, honey. I'm sorry. I don't have it right at my fingers. I was just so surprised to read that. Because basically, they acknowledge that it does not meet the requirements of the comprehensive plan test or the land use code. Let me go back and find this, because I was just horrified at the language.
Horrified?
Well, I was, because they are a quasi-judicial board charged with responsibility for determining whether things comply with our comp plan and our land use code, and they are supposed to be advising us based on our codes and our laws.
So I need to correct this misstatement.
Well, hold on. Let's just find it, because I read it here.
I can show you where it is in
Thanks,
the
back. Because I just want to
so
read
comment,
this.
It includes two different things. It includes the September 1st, 2015 minutes, which comprise, three or four pages of almost verbatim discussion. Nowhere in there does any planning and zoning member say what you just contended they said.
Right. Well, what I'm telling you is that they did not deny the facts.
Can I finish?
Sure.
The staff report in Jeff's synopsis,
which
I disagree with, is on his second page of the staff report under Planning and Zoning Board Recommendations.
And of course, you don't know what page that is in our packet.
Yeah,
that's not your fault.
125.
Thank you.
Sure.
It's not your fault. 125.
It says rather than based his Jeff's summary. Was rather than base their recommendation strictly on the comp plan test of the neighborhood comparison, which by the way, is not the test, not a neighborhood comparison, or the zoning criteria, the P&Z board recognized that this property is located on the edge of a residential neighborhood and close to commercial properties.
Right.
The P&Z board also took into account that four neighboring property owners came to support the request.
Because what we talked about in there is they had a staff recommendation that explicitly described how they failed the comprehensive plan test and how they failed to meet the land use code. Very clearly.
That's what P&Z said.
That's not. P&Z and I had a discussion, as you would see in there, about what the comp plan actually says, because as you know, how staff chooses to interpret it is not the law. What the comp plan says is that it has to be consistent with. In fact, it would be numerically impossible unless every single lot in the neighborhood was 60 feet or less, right? Because if you just threw 175-foot lot in there, bam, you missed the test. So
I think they've been interpreting as average for since 1980.
Well, that's not what the comp plan says.
Understand.
And it was adopted in 2009.
I don't have the language in front of me, but I know that if that is our traditional interpretation and we have interpreted it that way since 1980, I think we are well within our...
I'd also point out that I think like 6 weeks ago, this board approved Phil Keene in R1A for lots to go down to 50 feet and for the lots to be only 3,500.
And if this is approved for you today, there will be someone standing there next week saying the same thing about this.
My difference is you keep switching the test. I'm getting held to a different standard.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I don't know where we started talking about median just recently, which was a new discussion that I had never heard over the time that I had served with the city. So for me, we have interpreted it to mean the average since 1980-something, and if that's incorrect, then we need to fix that. But the fact of the matter is, my understanding is staff recommended that this not be approved, and I would like to support staff's recommendation.
Okay. And it came with a unanimous recommendation from P&Z. Commissioner Seidel.
Thank you. Jeff, how often do we typically approve a lot to be thinner than the zoning? In other places? How often historically have we done this, I guess? That's because I know the one that she's talking about. I was here for that one.
Well, it varies based on the economy. So when we went through the recession years, we were having no lot splits for those 4 or 5 years. Now, obviously, residential is heating up. I would say probably of the lot splits that have to come to the City Commission, about a third of the ones to 40% of the ones that you see are asking for smaller lot sizes.
And how many do we see? I mean, I'm trying to think back over the last 10 years.
3 or 4 a year.
Okay. And so then, secondly, there's an alleyway proposed in the back that really doesn't go anywhere.
Well, it does. What it is, rather than have the garage doors facing the street, the design that they want to do is put the garages in the back, so that the homes are more attractive on the Pennsylvania frontage. Okay. So that'll be a common driveway, in essence, or alley in the back, leading to all the two-car garages.
Again, similar to Beloit. Mm-hmm. And similar to Pennsylvania Place.
Yeah, I guess it's, and that's allowed to be only 15 foot wide.
Well, the condition in there requires it to be 24, so okay. There's ample room to back out of all the garages, and also so that nobody parks in the alley and neighbors argue with each other.
Okay, and then I did see the one property owner that actually would be where the wall is. They had some comments regarding the garbage cans, and then you said those garbage cans would actually be on Pennsylvania. Is that possible? That's how I read that. And is you're saying that even with the alleyway, they would still take the garbage cans around and be on Pennsylvania?
Picked up.
Yeah,
we've got to deal with the garbage cans the way we deal with garbage cans.
Yeah.
Well, because that would put them on Tantum Avenue, I guess. That's what. But it says in the thing that
their concern was that I'm not going to speak for somebody else's concern. If they're here.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking about the concern.
They can address it. The alleyway is not intended for garbage
pickup.
So there's probably a garbage truck coming from Pennsylvania that they would like us to put.
Yeah, I mean, so
if somebody's concerned about garbage, we are happy to make it.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking of the practical. How would you get them from the back to the front? That's all.
That's always been my husband's job.
Not my job.
Well, I noticed that the ones down the street put theirs on the side of the alleys. Mm-hmm. So those aren't on Pennsylvania.
Well, so the reality is they're going to take their carts down the alley and put them on Tantum, and you have to balance what that'll look like with those four cans there, compared to would you rather see the garage doors on Pennsylvania, then they'll roll them out of the garage doors and put them out in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and then, so I guess the other question is if you met the code and had the 75 or 80 foot driveways, you would have 3 units that you could have a circular entrance in the front, which some could argue is just as attractive as not having a driveway in the front. And so
I don't understand circular.
A semicircular driveway that you could pull in the one side and come out the other.
I don't know if you can do that on 75 feet.
I don't want to get into design.
Yeah,
well, I guess but that goes to my question here is what's wrong with the 3 lots? Is there really that much price differential between 3 and 4 lots and
the
larger lots?
We're not requesting 3 lots. The request is for 4 lots with a rear entry.
Right. Okay.
And there may be people here that want to.
Well, and then, you know, I mean, if it was 3 lots, it'd be a slam dunk. That's what I'm saying. You're asking for 4. And so, but my other question, even if it was the 3 lots, is whatever split we do, there are those trees out there that have been equally spaced. And I would really be concerned to approve, you know, and I don't understand when you, how many of these are specimen trees, because they're large oak trees. And to me,
That street has this nice canopy of oak trees behind it that have been in this grove for some time, and could those trees be saved? And I feel like if I'm approving something that's here and these houses all line up and the trees are right in the middle of the houses, you're going to tear down all those oak trees. And so that's my question. It's just, it would be nice to know if there's a tree survey done. First of all, they look fine to me, but I'm not a tree expert. They could all be dead in 5 years. So it's kind of a moot point. But for me to, you know, you're asking me to approve a split, but the split may take down all 15 oak trees that are on that site. And I guess that's what concerns me as the tree city, is I would like to make sure, are we doing anything about those trees with this lot split? And it's possible this may be the perfect lot split to save all the trees. And that's why you're not doing the three. That's why the four works better. So I would like to see that taken into account before I would vote.
Okay, if I can respond. We have not gone out and done a tree survey. That this isn't a CUP. It's not something that's required. I disagree with the assertion that if we just did three lots, it would save trees, because if we did three lots, there would be room for swimming pools. And
right. No, I didn't say it would. I said it may be four saves trees, because the trees might line up with your lot line.
I think, you know? I don't think that.
However the code impacts it.
We're going with the code.
Except
that we're asking for a variance to the code for setbacks as a part of a lot split without a site design. And normally a variance has to go to the Board of Adjustments when they get ready to build it. And they have a plan with them to take to the Board of Adjustments.
That's not true. Your code allows you to grant variances during
the
subdivision.
No, I didn't say it didn't allow us to. I said
it
does. Generally, if you take the site
provide
plan,
footprints.
Then you go to the Board of Adjustments. Do you or do you not take a site plan with you?
We do. We gave a site plan with this also.
Okay. We're not here to answer those right now. We're here to do, and I think the applicant has heard that there's concerns regarding setbacks and regarding how some of these things are treated.
I have one last question.
Sorry, I have Commissioner Sprinkle waiting.
Certainly, absolutely.
So when were the houses on Beloit built, the 50-foot lots that are in that neighborhood, when were they done?
They were done in the very late 1970s, early 1980s.
Okay. And so that was some kind of a lot split, too. You come up with 50. Somebody came and got permission to do that, correct?
Of course, those were lots platted in the 1920s, and back in the day, in the 70s, you could use individual 52-foot lots.
Right.
But after those late 70s, we didn't want every 50-foot lot in town to have a...
So that never had to go through that process?
It didn't have to, no.
Okay, all right.
Commissioner Cooper.
Just a quick question, because, Dory, I want to make sure that having heard the applicant's attorney, do you believe that this still fails the comprehensive plan? I don't know that it's even in the comprehensive plan. I just know for years the city has referred to the test of lot widths as the comprehensive plan test. So my question is, did what Ms. Furman Wilson, say to you make you think that you've been misinterpreting this since 1980, or are you still comfortable with staff's recommendation of denial based on the comp plan test, whatever?
I've only been here since 2009, so I'm going through the 2009 comprehensive plan. So I will say that Jeff has consistently looked at the test in the time that I've been the director for the last year and a half. He has consistently done that the same way. If there are questions about that, I think it's very worth our while to go and look at that. I will tell you the reason why staff recommended denial. Putting aside the comprehensive plan test, the reason that staff recommended the denial on this is it is our job to enforce and regulate the Land Development Code and the comprehensive plan. I do not believe it is ever appropriate for staff to recommend that we create lots that have a variance to them. That is not staff's job. You are the policymakers. You can interpret that policy any way you like, but staff has consistently looked at these lots and said, you know what? The code clearly says these lots can be created as three with no variances. However, when we get into that fourth lot, for whatever reason, economic development potential, whatever it may be, you are going to have to come and ask for a variance. And that is, in my view of the code, that is not staff's determination.
Thank
so
you.
My recommendation was for a recommendation of denial. I think you've heard both great cases here. But that, from a policy standpoint and what the code regulates, we're going to look at the lot sizes that are consistent with the code.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doran. Folks, I'm going to open this to public comment. I drive this every day. This design fits into the neighborhood, the overall neighborhood. It also, we have support from, I have four letters here from the people who are going to be immediately impacted, and they're all extremely supportive of it. So let's open it up to public comment.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Rich, and I was here before about the same issue. So just as a quick update, Brecken Drive has real traffic problems. We've been through this before. Fortuitously, there was a grant for sidewalks. That's not going to solve the traffic or the safety. In probably a half a block area, there's 19 kids under the age of middle school, and they play in the street and go across the street back and forth. Well, you've planned sidewalks, and the big issue is where they come together at Kimbrace and Dunraven.
So are we talking, are you He's talking on, I think you're talking about a different item here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He thinks it's
5 o'clock.
I apologize. On this item. That's my fault. It's on this item.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know what that item's about. Thanks.
We were trying to put it all together.
I was thinking real hard on that, trying to figure out where.
We were trying to make it fit.
Yeah, that was good.
Folks, that's before anyone wishes to speak on this item. Thank you.
My name is John McDade. I live 450 Beloit Avenue. Been there for 20 years, across the street from the houses that are on the 50-foot wide lots. And I got to tell you, you almost have to wait for somebody to die over there to get one. People really want to buy this. I think I'm in full support of this, and I think this is definitely the highest and best use for this property. And it's going it'll be very similar to the ones further up Pennsylvania. I think it'll be a big enhancement for that area.
Great. Thank you, Sean. David.
Hi, my name is Chris Heidrich. I own the home at 922 North Pennsylvania Avenue. It's right next door. It's across the street from Tana. My house is from these lots.
Okay.
And to me, I think it's a nice addition because of the alleyway in the back. And, I mean, if you look at a lot of the traditional neighborhoods around the country, Celebration is one that copied the traditional neighbor. Andreas Duwani came into the city and looked for a walking community, and a lot of the qualities that this design has resembles what he was recommending. With the garbage cans, I think they can just put them out on Pennsylvania, because mine go to Pennsylvania and I live right next door. So I don't think I do think it would be queer to have everybody bringing garbage cans for four lots down. So anyway, I live there, I support it, and I think it'd be a good compliment to the city, and it's fitting for that area.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Troy.
Thank you.
Frank Baker Sr., 650 Northwood Circle, Winter Park. And I would just like to say that I wholeheartedly support this proposal. It's about time that we put something nice there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Good afternoon, evening. My name is Janie Baker, and I reside at 650 Northwood Circle. And I am in favor of this proposal. The reason being, we have lived in Northwood Circle since 1966. That land has been vacant that long and more. And we would like to see some structures on that property. I believe that perhaps the reason it has not been developed is because no one saw a need for developing the lot as 1A. And so now we have residences around this property that would fit in with this property. And so therefore, it appears that to enhance our neighborhood, you would allow the developer to develop this property so that we would not have this vacant land for another 50 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Bailey. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. We have a motion on the floor. Commissioner McMacken?
I'd like to offer an amendment to that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
And I tried to scratch something out here with the help of our attorney, so bear with me here.
Sure.
That the in addition to the conditions that Planning and Zoning put on here, I'd like to add that the four residential units will not be of uniform elevation on the exteriors, and that they will have significant architectural variation among them, and the architectural style of the homes may be interrelated and compatible. And I'd like to add that as an amendment to that. And I'd also like to make a comment, because I appreciated staff saying that, you know, what their job is, and part of my job, and it was when I was on P&Z as well, was to, while I have the code in one hand, to actually go out and take a look at how, because as a landscape architect, one thing I've learned is every site's different, and no two are the same. And while we do have codes that fortunately address these things, you have to, in my mind, have to look at each place individually in order to apply those fairly. And I did that. I, as my other commissioners had done, I went out and actually parked and walked on the site and looked around the other neighborhoods. And to me, again, the proximity of everything going on around here is unique, with the golf course there. We've got the commercial down the side. We've got a true eclectic Winter Park neighborhoods all around it. And so I made this decision, and I'm going to vote in favor of this. I made that decision based on actually going there and looking at the site and how it related to the rest of the neighborhoods. And that I find that with this amendment and with P&Z's recommendations that I can support this. So
great.
I just want to mention, it wasn't just a cut and dry. You actually have to go and look. And the tree is, I mean, I'm number one tree hugger, but I look at that and I see what our codes are, and our codes prescribe how you deal with currently how you deal with trees on a site. I may or may not agree with that, but that's what I'm having to operate under from that standpoint. So,
right. Great. Are you all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Cindy, the amendment, which is, I wish I could recite Commissioner McMacken's amendment, but basically it was to non-uniform elevation with significant differences between architectural changes between them. That's the amendment.
So we're voting on the amendment first.
We're voting on the amendment to the motion. Yes, sir.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now the motion, the main motion.
Commissioner Seidel?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Folks, do you want to take public comment and then maybe take a break before we just...
Sure.
Yes.
I think we should absolutely.
Okay.
Mr. Rich.
Mr. Rich?
Mr. Rich, we are ready.
You're on.
Well, good afternoon. I don't know where to start again, but
from the beginning.
Because we were still scratching our heads, so we might have missed it.
Well, thank you anyway. By the way, Commissioner McMacken, I really think what you just said really makes a difference. And I hope you take the same theme for what's going on in this particular neighborhood, because I don't think it's been done. I talked about the speed limit on Durkin before, and we've addressed it. And I think the good intentions to go after a grant and everything for sidewalks, but the sidewalks has no impact on the speed limit. And actually, where the sidewalks are going to be located is going to
make things worse because the crossover is going to be at Dunway and Kimbrace, which is the turn to go to the high school. It also floods. You need a boat to get across there. And I've got pictures to share with you on this. So you should probably go out there and watch the traffic go at 7 o'clock in the morning and see really what happens. And it just does not make any sense on this. Now, we've talked to engineering about the speed limit. 5 years ago, I spoke to Mayor Bradley and one of his coffees, and we were going to be addressing all these things. Nothing's happened. I think you would even get people to agree to speed bumps on the street. But that particular location has all kinds of problems where you're crossing Kimbrace. It is a sharp turn, it's a blind turn, and people just speed up when they go by there. Also, there's cars parked right in the corner there. There's a lot of growth in terms of trees and big bushes that hide everything. So I really think you need to take a step back, hold off on the sidewalk project, and take a clear look at, if you're going to go ahead and do it, what is the right thing to do? And the issue on the street, and you can pull everybody, is the speed and the reckless driving, besides all the cut-throughs we've already gone over and talked about. Also, too, what kind of surprises me when decisions like this are made, why doesn't the engineering department go out there and just do physical traffic counts versus strips of recorded transactions, but physical traffic counts at certain times of the day? And okay, and then the other aspect is, why don't they go and poll the neighbors who've lived there 30 years or more on what needs to be done? It's like, you know, this is not rocket science. And really, when it comes to speed and things, there's the three E's. You know, it's really the engineering, it's the education, and enforcement. And I don't think there's really a whole lot of elements in the decision on these sidewalks. But I think you need to step back and take a re-look at this. I've got some pictures to send to you. There's a flood there. You're going to have to deal with major storm sewer issues at that corner if you're going to make it a crosswalk. You ought to have lights there, everything else. But I think the intention was good, but I don't really think it was thought out properly. So thank you for the time to do this. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Are there any other questions? Randy, I think you've heard the applicants. Can you just get to it a little bit further for us? Maybe shoot us some email. I'm certain yeah. Tons of work's already been done, Troy, but I'm just not familiar with the intersection, so it would be interesting to find out a little bit more.
Is this the Brookshire sidewalk project?
Yes.
Right? That is what we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, it's the full neighborhood, and it's getting the kids to school safely, right? That's the point?
Yes.
Okay, but the other part of the point he's bringing up, is the speed limit the same on his road as all the other roads?
Yes.
So it's all the same?
Not during school time.
Not during school time.
Because none of the neighborhood falls outside of that.
They're not in the school zone, so they don't have 15 mile an hour.
But the kids, I remember the road because my child used to take his bike on it when he would go over there. So I just know that there's
we're encouraging them to walk on that road by putting the sidewalks there and working to put the kids on that road, then maybe it does need to have the benefit of the speed.
The direction of Brookshire is totally should be on the opposite side of the street. Because if you're concerned about the kids walking to Brookshire, you've got the planned sidewalk on the wrong side. I mean, it's this, again, you just look at it and figure it out. It doesn't mean a whole lot.
I walked it a couple of years ago when it first came up, and I felt very similar.
I said, the kids play on the street, which is a great to see it rejuvenated with all the young people and everything, but it's really the safety issue and sidewalks aren't going to keep the kids off the street.
Thank you, Mr.
The speed might help some with that.
Randy, could you just maybe just brief us a little bit on that? Great. Why don't we're going to take a break, and we will resume at, shall I say, 20 minutes? We have some budget comments we have to take care of here. So I've got to read some official statements for the budget, for this year's budget. Larry, you good if I start?
Yes, sir.
Great. The millage rate needed for fiscal year 2016 to generate the same property tax revenue for the city as in 2015, based on the property appraiser certification, is 3.8774 mils. The budget proposed by the staff, with amendments generally agreed to by the City Commission, requires a millage of 4.0923 mils, which has been the rate levied by the city for the past 7 years. The proposed millage of 4.0923 mils would represent an increase in property taxes, not counting new construction and the city's dedicated increment value payment to the Community Redevelopment Agency of 5.54%. This increase in property taxes levied over the prior year is not due to any change in tax rate, but is due to the increase in assessed values of property. In addition, an 0.0892 mil voted debt service is levied to cover the debt service of the general obligation bonds, Series 2004, approved by the citizens of Winter Park at the June 4th, 1996 bond referendum, and a 0.1858 mil voted debt service is levied to cover the debt service of the general obligation bonds, Series 2011, approved by the citizens of Winter Park at the May 16th, 2000 bond referendum. This will be a simultaneous public hearing on the two ordinances, an ordinance setting the millage rate for 2016 and an ordinance adopting the fiscal 2016 budget. Larry, would you read those ordinances?
Yes, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, adopting a 4.0923 mil ad valorem tax levy upon all real and personal property for appropriation to the general operating expenses of the city, a 0.0892 mil voted debt service levy upon all real and personal property for appropriation to the City of Winter Park, Florida, general obligation bond series 2004, and a 0.1858 mil voted debt service levy upon all real and personal property for appropriation to the City of Winter Park, Florida, GO bond series 2011. And the next one's lengthy. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, adopting the annual budget for the fiscal year October 1, 2015, ending September 30th, 16, and accompanying five-year capital improvement plan, appropriating funds for the general fund, designations, trust fund, stormwater utility fund, community redevelopment fund, federal forfeiture fund, police grant fund, debt service fund, water and sewer fund, electric utility fund, fleet maintenance fund, vehicle equipment replacement fund, employee insurance fund, general insurance fund, cemetery trust fund, general capital projects fund, and stormwater capital projects fund, providing for modification, providing for amendments to set annual budget to carry forward the funding of purchase orders outstanding and unspent project budgets as of September 30th, 2015, and authorizing transfer of funds herein appropriated between departments so long as the total fund appropriations shall not be increased thereby.
Thank you, Larry. We will open the floor for public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on the proposed budget? Seeing none, we'll close the floor. Any further discussion at the commission level?
No, sir.
Okay, great. Then I will.
Like a motion?
We do need a motion. Except, do we not? Do you need me to?
Yeah, we need a motion for each.
Do you need me? Okay, I was going to ask if I needed the to do my my reading first. Check with city manager. Do I need to do my?
No, I've got a script. Right.
I didn't memorize any of that stuff.
Yeah, you need to read D.
That's what I thought. See? There you go. Okay. The City Commission of the City of Winter Park is going to adopt an operating millage of 4.0923, which represents a property tax levy that is 5.54% higher than the rolled back rate of 3.8774 mils due to increases in assessed values. Now we need a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the ordinance adopting the millage rate, and I'd also like to move the ordinance adopting the fiscal year 2016 annual budget.
Thank you, Tom.
I'd be glad to second those.
Great. Further commission discussion? No. Cindy, would you please read the roll then on the millage rate first?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now on the fiscal 2016 budget.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Well done, folks.
When we hear no tax increases and no reduction in services.
There might be tax increases. There's no tax rate
That's right. Be careful.
Don't
care what you say.
Blame Rick Singh.
That's right.
Okay. Let's move on to item 11C. Jeff?
I do have an ordinance to read.
I'm sorry, Larry, go ahead, please.
Yes, an ordinance amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan, so as to change the future land use designation of commercial to Central Business District, future land use on the property at 652 West Morse Boulevard, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict severability and an effective date.
Thank you, Larry.
Yes, sir.
Second
ordinance. An ordinance amending Chapter 58, Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 3 Zoning and the Official Zoning Map, so as to change from Office O1 District Zoning to Commercial C2 District Zoning on the property at 652 West Morse Boulevard, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict severability and an effective date.
Larry, thank you. Jeff?
This is a simultaneous public hearing for those two ordinances, as well as a conditional use that involves the property at 652 West Morse, which now holds the DeCiccio Law Office, that is on the south side directly to the west of the coop. And on the west side of that is a city-owned park property that is a pedestrian walkway that goes back to the community center. Property is more or less about 100 feet on Morse, 300 feet deep, about two-thirds of an acre. And right now it is zoned Office 01. The prospective purchasers are asking to rezone it from that 01 to our commercial C2 designation, as well as the companion change from commercial to the Central Business District future land use, in order to build a new project of 11 residential townhomes that are 2 and 3 stories in height, and which total about 40,000 square feet in all. And as you saw in the plans, the building that fronts up on Morse Boulevard is 2 stories in height, and then the 3 buildings, as you go further back on the site, are 3 stories in height. Originally, the applicants were planning that all of these buildings would be 3 stories. As you know, we have a character along Morse of 1 and 2 story buildings. So we asked them if they would please reduce the size and scale along Morse to be compatible with the character that we have. And they voluntarily agreed to do that in order to bring something in that is more in keeping with the style and character and height of what we see along Morse Boulevard. So that was a very nice, not only gesture by the applicants, but obviously resulted in some loss of potential square footage. Because while this project could be up to a 200% FAR if the changes were approved, the FAR is around 140%, so there was some reduction in the potential square footage of this project in order to accommodate the desires of the city to keep that two-story character along Morse Boulevard. We talked earlier in the meeting about opportunities to use cross-access and alley arrangements, and of course that's what we did originally with the DeCiccio Law Office. And that the extension of Welburn, as you go past the Spray Park, is the way into their parking lot. And so we're continuing that in terms of being the sole access into this project. So you will not see any driveways off of Morse Boulevard. We're just going to see the building fronts, and then circulation will be as it is now. When we have a multifamily project, you know, our code is 2.5 spaces per unit in order that there should be some extra parking places, presumably for visitors is what we're anticipating. They have met the code, but in a way I guess we didn't anticipate, they've met the code of 2.5 by providing 3-car garages on most of these units. So they meet the 2.5 internally within the buildings. But recognizing that we still may need some outside spaces for service people to come, for maids, for whatever that might be, as well as visitors, there are 2 on-site parking places. And then realizing that they don't have any room and that if there are more than two cars, they're probably going to go park then in the parking at the spray ground. The developers have volunteered to create three new parking places on the city property as you drive in past the spray park there on the north side, so that there will be three off-site spaces. Of course, their visitors can use them or whatever, but also someone that comes to the spray ground or the community center is able to use them as well. So that is part of what has been recommended to you by the Planning and Zoning Commission. We talked quite a bit at P&Z about the terracing requirement for the third floor of the three-story buildings. As you know, in our code, we try to mandate both articulation ins and outs as well as step-backs for the third floor. And what was critical to staff is that that be accomplished, particularly in building number two, the first three-story building up closest to the street. It doesn't have a lot of visibility from Morse, I mean, because you have the Seaside National Bank building, so you're really just kind of looking down that pedestrian walkway. There's a tree in the way, too. But the applicants were agreeable to accommodate those design modifications, and that's part of the recommendation, and so they will be making those changes subsequent to a prospective approval. However, in the back two buildings, building three and four, that are not visible from the street, then they are doing more or less vertical facades, again, because there's lack of visibility from the public street, which is what this is all about, and also recognizing, you know, that they had already given up some of the potential square footage by that offer to downsize the front unit along Morse Boulevard. I mentioned in the write-up to you that, you know, the philosophy back in 1995 when we started the CRA, we wanted Morse Boulevard to redevelop. The city administratively went and changed all of the comp plan designations to commercial from residential wherever that existed. We wanted to tell people you can come here and redevelop. And what happened, though, and what transpired over the years is that the typical density of commercial C3, the 45% floor area ratio, isn't what was generated. Across the street where Mike Mayer has his office, those two-story buildings, the density there with the parking garage behind required C2 zoning, and so that was granted. And C2 has been granted on four other properties along Morse Boulevard. The most recent one was the same applicants there at the corner of Virginia and Morse Boulevard. And this is, you know, more or less the same project. They're buoyed by the success of pre-selling those units. We not only have that project and this, I mean, we have 36 residential townhomes going from zero in a year and a half to now in the planning. There are 36 or 38 new residential townhomes that obviously significant dollar investment. It's really showing the attractiveness of Winter Park and the stability of the marketplace for that kind of product. So you do have a positive recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission with some conditions that were attached to it, and so it is coming to you in that fashion. This is one of the conditional uses that needs two public hearings, so we are voting on it on the first reading for the first as well as on the second reading. So with that, see what questions I have.
Questions for staff?
Residential is a permitted use now under C2 for first floor.
Outside of the Park Avenue corridor, you can do residential on the first floor.
Do you know why, were you involved in the original discussions of why our C2 zoning has the vertical stipulations against it? I guess that's right now that's only on the avenue. And maybe as time goes forward, not for this project, but as time goes forward, we might need to discuss
what the objective was in putting that zoning in place. Can you help me with the background on that?
So back in 1980, well, of course, Park Avenue is the address that everybody wants to have. And back in the mid-1980s, it suddenly appeared as though it was going to be the most attractive address for real estate offices, banks, stock brokerages, and salons. And so everyone got very concerned that we were going to lose the retail restaurant character. And so we took a page out of, I think, St. Armand's Circle book, what they do, and made it just restaurant and retail on the first floor along Park Avenue and down the side streets to the Center Street Alley, and that's our vertical zoning.
And I think if I remember originally, the C2 zoning had a very small application, and then we started to allow it to kind of creep. And my question to the commission, not for this, but I would love for us to have some time. In fact, I'll be asking you to meet with me to talk about C2 zoning, only because we started out that we wanted to create a very walkable, pedestrian-oriented retail, and we wanted the retail to be connected so people would continue to walk, and we were putting all the residential upstairs. And then what happened as time moved on, people, of course, wanted to take advantage of the 200% FAR, so that C2 started being kind of pulled in directions beyond Park Avenue in New England. And so then that vertical zoning was put in place, but it was only put in place for the Park Avenue corridor and 140 feet on each side. So the question that I would love for, I'm going to ask you to come and talk to me, not today. I do see that our codes do allow residential as a permitted use in C2, so it becomes just a policy decision for us whether we want to change the character of Morse. I did call some commercial real estate folks that said there's a very high demand for office, that more so than ever, our office is under demand. If we want to be a work, play, live, we need to be careful how much residential we create in lieu of office, because the work part, we've lost Northrop Grumman, we've lost Florida Hospital, we've lost RLF. I know we got Ruth Chris, but we got to be careful of the balance. So that and the CNL building was supposed to help with that. But office is under high demand. For this particular project, it's just a policy decision, I guess, whether we want to let residential, if that's the complexion we want for Morris Boulevard or not.
Commissioner McClain?
No questions.
Commissioner Seidel?
I have comments, but
you don't have to.
I thought you had your comments. Do we get to hear those?
Yeah, I reserve the right to ask.
Yeah. Well, comments or questions? Mayor,
I just love the idea of having people that are there, because as you all well know, I'm right there on that other corner across from the Coop every day, and I get to see the people that are walking there, and the more people you put in that neighborhood, the more people you'll have that are walking in that neighborhood. So I love to see what's going to happen with that.
Great. Would the applicant like to
Yes. My name is Jacob Farmer at 135 North Knowles Avenue, here on behalf of the applicant, Phil King Designs. Patrick is going to play for me the digital fly-through that we showed at Planning and Zoning.
You have the best visuals. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'll let Phil know that. He apologizes that he had a conflict and wasn't able to make it today. He's out of town. So we're
not so much here.
Is this Morse? Is this the front?
This is, yes, this is the two-story building that Jeff was talking about along Morse. That there's three units right there. The two end caps have the articulated bayfront windows. The middle unit has the columns and the balcony, you know, the balcony out front to kind of differentiate the units. This is the view on Morse coming down the project in between the Seaside building and the other buildings through the pedestrian walkway.
And that's city property?
Correct. So that's a city-owned property that comes now down all the way down through and connects back into the drive and then the community center. So these would be the three buildings that front that walkway. So this building's 2, 3, and 4, you know, in the plans, and those front directly into the city walkway. The plan would be to get with the Parks Department and do beautification of that city-owned walkway in order to tie it in properly. This is the view along Welburn. Those are those three additional spots along the north side of Welburn that we would like to create.
Are you bringing the sidewalk down and connecting? Is that something
after
you
the
do?
After the fly-through, there are some images that I'll show how that will all tie in. So this is the front through Welburn, which is actually rear-loading the garages all along, you know, the units that will face, you know, the walkway. Same view going along the back side of the property there. So those are all the garages.
That faces the coop.
Correct. So this, as we turn here now, this unit, it's kind of going real quick. This is like on top of the coop looking at the easternmost unit along the Moore side, which would be right next to the coop.
So you gave that a little...
Correct. It's got a little side yard. There's existing trees that tie into the property that we will be saving. Part of that is the two-story requirement ties in to where we won't have to take down any the trees along the coop and the Morse property. And then if you could, Patrick, slide over to the PDF of some of the images. I want to show Commissioner Cooper the tie-in for the walkway. I believe that's on page 4.
I just wanted to make sure the pedestrians could still walk down there and get to the spray park.
Correct. And that, the big picture right there, that's how the sidewalk then comes around and ties back into the existing drive.
Is that a 5-foot sidewalk?
There's actually...
Nice,
there's a 10-foot...
Nice.
We have a 10-foot side setback, but that's actually a rear 10-foot setback.
And
there.
The width of the sidewalk, the pedestrian walk?
I'd have to look at the width of the existing sidewalk.
Oh, that's the drive.
That's the drive where the two people are walking.
The two people are on the drive, and then just to the left of them, there's the white sidewalk.
How nice that was. And then my question about that is, are you paying to, I heard you say, upgrade the landscaping in the city's property? I mean, I hope you are. It
yes.
Since it's like you're, you know, I hope that's...
The plan. We're going to have to rework that beautification to tie into our property anyway, so that'll all get revamped, and we'll work with the Parks Department on that.
And you'll get the pedestrian. I don't want the pedestrians to walk down there and not be able to get to the spray park. You take care of that, right?
Correct.
Right.
And that's actually on this is city-owned property.
I
where
know,
those two
is.
Columns are that right. kind of define where the entrance of the private drive is, that's the actual property line.
Okay.
And there's a... I guess it's kind of hard to see.
Yeah, when that was originally planned, it was a great idea. It was a mid-block cut-through, to which is a wonderful planning tool. I don't know why we abandoned it, but we built a swimming pool there, so now I want to get people at least in the spot.
Uh-huh.
No, you're
right. So that's it. Just wanted to show where there's one more image there. It's kind of hard to tell, but where the dark pavement ends and where the light pavement starts, that's the property line. And you can see kind of right there in the right-hand corner where that little orange strip is, that's where the sidewalk currently is that's on the city's property that comes from the walk pathway. So it'll stay in that same location. You can kind of see it a little bit better there.
Oh, a swimming pool.
Don't most people walk down Pennsylvania now, though? They don't walk down that.
I doubt they even know it's public
property. I don't think
they do. And they're going to know it even less once we build this.
They go right down Pennsylvania to get to the spray park.
Mm-hmm.
I think. That's where I see them.
Trying to get a handle. So that's a walkway. That's not a drive.
No, that's a walkway.
Correct. That's the walkway from the
And
the
there's no way to cut that back through over near the community center, because there's a swimming pool there. Is that
well, there's a fence around the swimming pool, so you've got to have a fence to keep.
So you can't bring it. It's not grass.
So if you're looking at a gate or something.
Right? If you're looking on the parcel map there, the west border of the property that's highlighted, that's the city walkway that comes all the way down, and then it just curves and ties through into the driveway pavement to then get into the city.
But you're going to want to clean that up and make it nicer.
That is the plan, yes.
Thank you. Not a taxpayer's expense, thank you.
Yeah, it's going to look more like a street on that side with the seaside parking lot, right? You kind of have the front of those houses facing the seaside parking lot?
Correct.
With the doors?
They're going to be set back from the property line, and then they'll tie in with landscaping in order to tie in correctly with the city walkway. So there'll be a landscape buffer there to provide some privacy and also to provide a beautification to make more feel more green space and open. And there's on the city property, there's on that walkway, there's several, you know, little oak trees all along there, so it'll provide buffer so you're not just staring at, you know, the big open parking lot. But that is what's there currently.
Yeah, no, I guess it's going to be more, it's going to look more like a public street that you walk down than it does today, because you're going to have what looks like front doors.
Correct.
Except it's too small, isn't it, for that? I think it's a sidewalk.
As you walk down there, it's going to look like you're on a street.
So can you tell me the width of that sidewalk that's going to front those front doors?
We're still going through, you know, that design process in terms of the parks. The width of the city-owned property, I believe, is...
Is it 8? So it's going to be wide enough to feel that it's a little bit of...
What I'm struggling with is, does the city use this access? Does the public use this access? And if they don't, what is a fair value for this property, and should we be selling it to the developer as opposed to just allowing the developer to enjoy the benefit of it without buying it? And who's going to maintain it? Those are the kind of questions that come to my mind.
Well, I would say it provides a nice back entrance into the community center without having to walk around the entire block for anybody walking in that.
That's what I'm just trying to figure out, does it?
I don't know if we did walk counts.
Right now, they come down Pennsylvania Avenue, and they go right into the park, which is right there. They don't go over between those buildings. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm happy for them to maintain it. I'm happy for them to improve it. But the question is, should they buy it as opposed to just using it? That's my only question.
And to go and sell city-owned property.
The point is, they are willing to use it. It is going to appear to belong to those 11 units that live there. They are going to improve it, and I hope, even though it's fee simple, so it'll be debatable, I hope that these 11 owners are going to get together and maintain it. And I hope it feels like the residents of Winter Park can still walk down that road. But my bet is when we're all finished, no one feels comfortable walking down that road except the owners or the visitors. Well, and if that's the case, then what's the value of this?
Let's make sure the residents feel comfortable walking down there and taking it to the...
I don't know how to do that, and that's all I'm struggling with. I think
Mr. Sadell says, let's put a sandwich board sign out.
Oh, please, no big signs.
Any questions for the applicant?
No? Did I state anything wrong?
You are planning to... Correct.
Those are all correct.
Hold on. Okay, Commissioner Sprinkle.
You are planning to... keep up that green spot, right?
But it's decent.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's city-owned property.
It's city-owned, but you're going to...
Yeah, city-owned property. It's city-owned, so we've got to work with the Parks Department if we want to change anything on that property.
We are plenty removed from there.
Yeah.
So we can certainly work out any kind of...
Well, we need to work it out.
I think there's comments being heard. I think staff can hear that there's a maintenance easement, and however we want to take care of it, however it's worked out in the future.
I'd just like a developer's agreement on that property, or either a sell of that property. That's all.
Hold on. Yes, Commissioner.
On this. Different subject, not the park.
Oh, no, I'd like to...
But it is the... just from the general perspective of traffic, we had before the law offices that would generate a certain amount of traffic. We're now looking at putting so many units in. Is that something that's even considered in these redevelopments?
Yes.
Please, let staff answer that question.
So, you know, based on the ITE data, it's like 104. I mean, maybe this law firm doesn't have this level of business, but it's 104 trips a day, and it's 110 trips a day with these townhouses, so it's roughly the same.
Okay. And then the parking question about available spots. If someone here throws a party, there's really not much parking there. Is that, how do you just, you know, in general, you're in a downtown district, and I'm assuming there's a lot of other places that have similar issues with extra parking lots, because these are all in the garages. So is that something we
are working on Pennsylvania?
And just from the perspective of, you know, I'm thinking if like two or three people have people come to visit and the garages aren't available, and, you know, they're going to park
Well, again, that's all code-defined. So
this isn't meeting code relative to parking. I mean, it's another thing where they're arguing about what our code means.
I do believe they are meeting code by the fact that they are supplying or they're willing to install three other parallel parking spots on city property by the spray. If you go by 2.5, you'd have your five extra spots that would be guests that we would require anywhere else. But the fact is that three of those will be on city property.
Yes. Right.
So they do meet, even without the three-car garage, which is a funky kind of thing, but they are meeting technically the code if we allow them to park three cars on city property.
Yeah, no, and the other one, there's space in front of the other one on New Road that we looked at. There's space for where people could park in front of the garages and not block people. And those weren't really counted, I guess, as parking spaces, but they were cars could be out of the way. And so I just didn't know if this site plan had some locations like that. You know, I'll call it, for lack of a better term, like overflow parking. Up against Building 1 or something like that, is there, you know, there's...
The only we have 30 feet wide drives in the back going into the garages, so technically you could get along the east side of the property in parallel and people would still have 24 to 25 feet of room to wiggle, so there would be some overflow there. The idea with the additional spaces created along Wellburn was during the day at high use when the park would be using them, the park visitors would use them during splash pad hours. In the evenings, nobody's really parking at the splash pad hours, so that could de facto into overflow parking and public parking, which is just like you have to do, you know, if you live in the Landmark or anywhere, you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant? Commissioner?
No, I have a question for our attorney.
Sure.
Thank you.
Larry?
Thank you. Well, if there's any questions, Jake will ask you to step back up.
Thank you. Now, my question is for the attorney. If we execute a development agreement that talks about their maintenance of this area and the extension and things of the sidewalk, are we putting ourselves in a situation where over time the ownership of the property becomes a question?
No.
No. Okay. That's right. I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Thank you. We will open the floor to public comment, and if anybody steps forward that's not either here because they have to be here, I'm going to be very surprised. We'll open the floor to public comment.
Joe's on vacation, so
Joe's not here.
That's right. We're going to close the floor for public comment. Any further discussion at the commission level?
No. Just, Mr. Mayor, I'm just going to, much like the other piece of property, I went out and looked at this and looked at the buildings and looked at the surroundings, and I was trying to think of a great one to come up with, and the only one I could do was either they jumped the shark or this is a building too far. I'm not in favor of this. I think it's way too dense for this site.
Okay.
For residential to be counting on green space to be the park that's the city-owned property, to have to park parallel park cars on city property to make this work, I think it's one unit. I think it's one building too many. I have no problem with changing it to allow residential here. I mean, they are literally from hedge to hedge, it's building, and from sidewalk to back of fence by the splash pad, it's building. And I think it's just, I thought what was done across the street where we were dealing with that big tree and the house with Joe's house and everything else,
he had some stuff.
Showed some real sensitivity to the site, and I think that's lacking here. And I just think it's too much for this one. So I'm not going to be in support of it. Again, I can support changing it to residential. I think it's just in this site, it's too much. And that's just where I'm at.
Okay. I think, and Commissioner, I would share your concerns in a vacuum. I look at this, and I've looked at the facade going down the side. I like that they've addressed staff and P&Z's concerns with making that front the front building two stories. If it was three stories up there, I would probably ask for that same lowering. I don't mind the density going down that depth of that property. I think they've done a nice job of tucking it in. I like the articulation. And I think that area, I know that area needs pedestrians, and I think this provides for it.
Exactly right.
I think
office over there has struggled a little bit.
Oh, Steve, I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
No,
I'm just thinking it's you know, I could live with building 1, 2, and 3,
right,
if that's what was before me.
Gotcha.
And we had some kind of separation there or whatever, but I just think that fourth building just threw me off the edge, and I can't go there with this one. I can go with everything you're saying. I just can't go with that fourth building.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at on this one.
Thank you for your thoughts.
And I appreciate what you're saying, Tom. I'm not sure where I am about that. My biggest concern was just what is the best mix of uses for the city of Winter Park going forward, and how do we continue to be live, work, play if we're not dealing with work. For a long time, the topic was that we needed to increase the commercial tax base. Certainly building residential on our commercial corridor didn't do that. I know we did it across the road with those buildings. And so for me, it's kind of a question of mix of use on that particular road. My gut tells me we're making a mistake changing all that to residential. However, when I look at this, it does comply with our codes. Our codes do allow that use if we choose to rezone it, and that's our policy decision. I'm still struggling with it.
Commissioner, I will say this from someone who's...
I'd love to be convinced by someone, you know.
Listen, I've sat up here long enough to know I'm not going to convince you.
You might. You might have got good data. I talked to four commercial real estate agents.
No, my point here is I'm in this world a little bit, and I think the commercial in this area, there are vacancies in this area. There are even the CNL building, there are vacancies. We need to put feet on the street in this market to help the commercial develop. And I do believe that further projects like this and possibly others are going to help that, which has been vacant. Worse, those buildings on they have vacancies in them. So while commercial is up right now and office is up, it's not up where it needs to be.
No, it lags residential. There's no doubt about that. But
across
the change is forever.
Well, not forever. This was rezoned, and we're zoning it back. So I think I think we need the feet on the street in this market, and I think this is really going to do a lot to elevate that commercial neighborhood. Commissioner Sprinkle.
Well, you have 40 residents right there on the corner. They're all in a nursing home, but they do get out, okay? So let me just tell you, I'm over there every day, and there are 40 residents living right there. So there are people there that like to get out and like to be in the neighborhood. There's something about having other people there. What did we hear? What's the best way to get more people out? To have people there. So I think it's a great asset to have more people in that neighborhood. I really do. I love the idea.
Chris, shut up.
All right. My chance to give a speech on this. We're all kind of going down the line talking about it. You know, to me, I looked at it and I was a little concerned about the density. There's a lot of the trees that the nice trees are on the other property, so the trees really wasn't an issue here. And what I think is if you took, once this is done, kind of looking at it, this is one of those places that seems like where you turn the corner and you go, oh, wow, this is really cool back here. And where they have those drives, and then you can come out, and then you end up going to Dexter's and everything around the corner and have the park. So I kind of look at it. There's a lot of character being built into this. And that's what I think is pretty cool about it, that it's not all facing the main road. You know, they've taken an alleyway that you got a bank in front of it, and it's something that you won't, you know, you probably wouldn't
surprise it.
Right. And then, you know, the other concern, because I did discuss this with some economist I know, and the happens to be my wife. And, one of the things that she talked about was, you know, when we have the tax rate is kind of locked in if you hold onto the building forever, where the commercial rates always go up with every year. We have the homestead exemption, where, you know, I do see within these similar types of building a little more turnover on those. I know the ones that are on my street or across from my street, I see a lot of that. So I'm not as concerned about us not getting the taxes from those properties from now and in the future. So I do see this as a revenue source as well. So I'm okay with it for those reasons.
Okay.
That's where I'm at with.
Well, we need a motion or not.
So moved.
So So you are moving the ordinance to for the land use?
Yes.
I will second that. I will make the motion to change the existing zoning designation from O1 to C2.
I'll second that.
Great, thank you. Do those motions incorporate the comments from?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I guess I need to make an amendment.
Yes, they do.
I need to make an amendment to the second motion. Did you already get a second? I don't need to interrupt you. Okay. I would just like to have a developer's agreement executed to discuss the upgrade in the maintenance of the property along the city easement.
Okay. I don't know how to second that. It's a little ambiguous right now, but I think staff and the applicant have heard the request that you guys figure out something.
Can I just want to get a developer's agreement. If you can help me say it in the right way. Yes.
It takes two readings.
Yep.
Hang on. Can work that out between the two readings.
Well, we have a motion on the floor.
Well, that would be my motion, is that before the next reading, something be given to us to review that addresses the maintenance.
Yeah, let me get a second. If there's a second,
I'll second that.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Staff, applicant have heard the concerns regarding that path and just the upkeep moving forward, so we can work that in. Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that. That is the amendment number two.
And actually, that's part of the conditional use, which is the next motion you need.
I'm sorry, that's part of the condition.
I got ahead. Are you saying I got ahead of myself? Okay. That's the zoning.
Do you want to make it part of the conditional use?
That's where it applies to. Either way.
It's fine. You know.
I'm asking the city attorney on that. Larry, we have it offered as an amendment to the second.
Typically,
I would withdraw it.
Typically, the requirements of the developer's agreement is part of the conditional use.
I know that. I move to approve the conditional use with the being accompanied by a developer's agreement to be worked out by staff and the applicant before the next meeting.
And I'll second that.
Okay. Enthusiastic.
You're sure. Enthusiastic. It's the word.
Hey, do you want the second or you want enthusiasm?
That's right. I'll just take it with me.
Okay.
It's fine. I'm happy about it.
We did open the floor already to this, so are you all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Great.
It's really lovely.
Cindy, on the ordinance, the first motion is for the land use map designation from commercial to the central business district.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. On the second motion, which is O1 to C2.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now the third, which is the conditional use approval.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you.
Great.
Looking forward to this. We have the request of Sujit. Larry, give me a second when I get there.
Yes. Getting there myself.
Yes.
Yes, I'm ready when you are.
Why don't you go ahead and read it? I've got a scrolling issue going on.
Okay.
That's almost like the beach ball issue. I get the beach ball.
Oh, scrolling. I thought it was scrolling.
An ordinance of the city of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning the 5-foot utility easement located on Block G of the Homemaker subdivision and the 1999 Florida Power Corporation distribution easement described herein, providing an effective date.
Great. Jeff.
Or Clark.
Troy. I'm sorry.
The city received a request to vacate these two instruments. One is an easement. It's for Florida Power, which is now Winter Park Electric, and one is a platted utility easement from the plat from 1926. This is the block. Block G is the block where the 8-story building that Dan is going to build got approved at a previous commission meeting. And we looked at both of these. We do not.
Let's go to DRC. Did we do that? Did we approve an H? I'm sorry. Did we?
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Wait. Okay. So now, maybe did we just approve that?
Did we approve?
No, DRC did.
DRC.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
Okay. So, there's an eight-story apartment building on Block G, and this 5-foot platted utility easement basically runs right up the middle of the block. It's not needed. Neither of these are needed, and so we want to vacate them.
And Troy, they don't affect any of the other, there's a couple of
no other property owners.
No, they don't.
That was my question. No other property owners would be impacted.
No, okay. That's correct.
And that utility easement follows on, it carries on into property that does not belong to him between his property and Lee Road, doesn't it? So I assume...
No, it doesn't go down to Lee Road.
It doesn't. Okay, it stops right there.
Yes.
Do we need, Larry, do we need two motions on this, or does one suffice?
You've got one that suffices.
Then I would move to abandon or to request to vacate both the easements.
I'd second that.
Great. Public comment? Open the floor. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. Any further discussion?
I just want to make absolutely positively sure this does not impact any property owner except the applicant.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? No. Sandy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Commissioner reports, before we do that, I would just like to say, I've had the opportunity and pleasure of working with our city attorney. This is the last meeting for Larry. Larry, I can tell you personally, you are always available. You are a great ally to this commission, and you are a great resource. Whenever we call to offer lengthy explanations on many items, which I always appreciate. I also appreciate your sense of humor and your just your comment. I mean, we had really good discussions too. We talked politics at the national level, and I'm going to miss you being up here. But I want to thank you on behalf of the commission and the city for your
absolutely.
Service.
Absolutely,
and as a friend. Now, Commissioner Seidel.
I wanted to use a few of my minutes to talk about.
30 o'clock minutes?
I get 10, right?
That's what it says. Robert's rules, 10 minutes. You got it.
No, when we talk about the lot splits, and one of the things that we get into is the stormwater associated with that. And the area where we talk about lot split today, my understanding is our regulations only require us to store 1 inch of rainfall. So currently we're undeveloped, okay? And if you get 8 inches of rain, probably 6 inches or 5 inches is going to go into the ground, and 2 or 3 is going to run off. In the developed condition, we're going to have 7 inches running off. And so there's kind of a little gap there as to the person coming into develop, once they subdivide it, and they can now put these single lots on these blocks, that they only have to meet that 1 inch criteria, and they can go in as each single lot, where typically when you develop a subdivision, you're required to put in stormwater that meets the current rules. And so I think it's an area that staff needs to take a look at is now, in some cases, what I've said previously is the capacity of the system may be able to handle all this. So we shouldn't burden the developer with that. But in some systems, the capacity may not be there, and it can't handle it. And so it's one of those where you don't want to make a blanket rule, but we really need to know in the areas, in the basins within the city, what areas are causing our flooding issues. And if we can... like this one today, you've got a lot of green space on either side of it. You've got the golf course, you've got the cemetery. I don't know of any flooding issues. None was brought up. But it's kind of that, just as we move forward, in areas where we do have flooding, we shouldn't be approving these without getting some kind of detention on site to hold back some of the water, because you're really putting it on the downstream property owners. And it's up to us as a city, in my opinion, to make sure we're not doing that. So I'd like, my thought is for staff to kind of take a look at that. I know they've looked at it some, but it's like we don't hear about it. And,
right.
So I'd like to know a little more what's going on with that. And, again, this was one of those things where I did have some objections today, and usually I try to reach out to people beforehand, and I didn't get to do that because I like to talk to them about my issues beforehand. And so I do apologize for that, and I'll try to make sure, as things come up, when I don't totally agree with something, I like to let people know before they show up. And so I wasn't able to do that today.
for this one.
I appreciate that and respect that. Thank you. That's, yeah. That's a, I think, the professional way to handle it. But I do think, reach out to Troy and the guys and see, you know, talk water. And yep. The engineer, you're the engineer up here, so we're, right. You know, we'd love your perspective on it. Commissioner Sprinkle.
And in keeping with what he just said, with as much rain as we've had lately, there's not many places that haven't had some flooding problems. Yeah, and so it's an unusual situation that's going on. And so it's a, I know I've had a number of people call me, some of which also called you, about a new building area and how it's recreated flooding. So I do know that it's an issue that we probably already have something in place, but I just don't know what it is. I wanted to tell you that today I had a great thrill of going to a town and gown lunch meeting out at UCF. And just so you'll know about the 63,000 students that are our neighbors over there at UCF, it's the second largest university in the nation, and that they have a GPA of 4.0. They now surpass all but one university with the number of students they're getting that are already qualifying for some of the best. I just can't imagine how great they have changed the way they take kids in. And so they're really and truly putting themselves on the map as a partnership university. We hear so much great things about Rollins, which are all true, but I want us to also keep in mind we have that same thing with UCF. And so it's just a thrill for me, who's a longtime educator, to see that going on right now. That's it.
I can't say enough good about UCF, and I love their new med school, so I'm really pleased with that. There were a few things that came up. One of them was when we talked to all the attorneys about when they were doing the orals with us, those said something about charging back legal fees for development to the developers. And I'm wondering if staff could look into that.
Looking into that.
Okay, so we can kind of, it sounds like a great idea to me.
That was also, I think that was you guys too.
You guys, oh, good.
Perfect. I think you guys had mentioned that.
Good, perfect. That sounds good. And the second thing I wanted to mention was my coffee talk is Wednesday. I'd love to have you to cheer me on. Yes, I guess it is Wednesday this week. It's way too early for me, you know that. And this past week, I actually ended up speaking on the Central Florida Water Initiative issue. And I'll say that that's one thing that we don't talk much about here, but we do have some issues with flooding. I do think that the pervious space issue is a big deal. I'm not sure, and I'd love to understand from staff about our stormwater. I don't know that, I mean, I think when our stormwater system was designed, it was designed assuming about 30% lot coverage. So we might, you know, we might need to be, and Greg, I'm glad that you understand the math of how to retain that water on site, because that's what I think we need to certainly be talking about. The next issue was tonight we saw that there was a weakness in our code. And I think when we see that, I would love to ask staff to review it to decide if it's something that needs correcting, like the parking code, for instance.
Can we refresh our memory? What's the weakness?
Well, if you have a three-car parking garage in a situation like we have there, obviously we're letting them use city property to make sure that they take care of that, but we can't always do that. There's not enough city property for everybody to do that. So then the question becomes, do our codes need to stipulate that some number of parking spaces are available not inside of a garage? See, right now it just says you have to have 2.5 parking spaces. It doesn't say at least one of them or half of them need to be outside. And that's so if I would like to ask staff to look at that. If we need to fix the code, I don't want to fix it. I don't want to keep having the same code issues over and over. Because there were two things. If there's something wrong with our wording on our comprehensive plan test that they call, let's fix the wording. I'm not interested in reinterpreting it. I checked with the attorney if it's an interpretation we've had since the 80s. You know, we are sound in moving forward with our interpretation, but if the wording needs to be fixed, maybe I'll fix it. Staff recommendations.
Well, that's not direction to staff.
It can't be.
No, it's not direction of staff. But,
so
but the fact of the matter is that's just a legal opinion about something that someone told them tonight that they were doing inappropriately, and they're not.
I could address.
Yes, thank you.
Well, hang on a second. I want to address something first. Sure. I don't think that's an interpretation before staff goes forth with anything. I think we need to discuss and decide what that interpretation should be at this level. And then
well, that's fine. We can schedule that. I don't mind. That.
Go ahead. City Attorney.
What I told the commissioner was that in quasi-judicial proceeding, if it gets judicial review, the courts will defer to the interpretation that administrative agencies place on their own rules. They'll defer to that. That doesn't mean that you can depart from the text to an absurd degree, but you get some deference, and so if you've been interpreting something consistently, as long as it's got a reasonable basis in the text, there may be alternative ways of interpreting it. The courts will defer to the way the agency interprets it.
Yeah, I guess if the city wants to interpret that way, we need to tweak the words, maybe we need to do that. It would have to come here for our review and approval anyway. Staff recommendations. I don't know at what point we quit having staff recommendations in the things that come to the commission, but I sure like to know your recommendation. It was just a fluke that I realized that staff had recommended against that. I mean, to me, I felt like I would have recommended against it too, and I'm pleased that you did, but I just love to know the staff recommendation on anything that comes before the commission. That's, you know, that I defer to your expertise there. And I'd like to have the commission know that I'm going to call and invite you, not individually, but I'm going to ask you if you would come and talk to me about C2 zoning in general, just our policy about how the history. I'd like staff to sit with us maybe and talk to us about the history of how we came to where we are with C2 zoning, and then policy-wise where we want to go with it, because it does have a zero pervious space requirement. It does tend to be used right now for residential, and if our objective was that it would create more commercial tax base, walkable retail, then maybe we need to be more careful about that. In the C2 zoning right now, we do have parking exclusions for fine dining. There is a certain mass of retail that we must have in order for our retail to stay healthy. And I know that I had asked a long time ago if EDAB could help us with some recommended mix of use for the city. Well, there is a gentleman that lives in our city now who not only he knows that modeling process very well. He was responsible at Celebration for what mix of use keeps things healthy.
Are there certain items you want us to get together to go over?
I just want to talk about C2 zoning. C2 zoning.
That coffee pot.
I'm
coming
to talk C2 zoning. That's, yeah, I'm
not,
talk
clear
C2
on what you want from each of us, though. I'm are you wanting to
workshop on C2 zoning?
Yeah,
are you talking
I really
about
like
brief
that.
Either
way,
you know, I would kind of maybe certainly staff would. It would be very beneficial if they could answer questions for us. But I would love to have a form-free time to talk about what we see in C2 zoning, what's good about it, where it's failing, where it's not, where it's succeeding, what.
Well, is that, I guess, is that information put together yet? That's what I'm saying.
It's in our codes, but it takes a lot.
No, I mean, like, where it's succeeding, where it's failing. I guess that's what I'm looking at, is if we have some finite items to discuss.
I don't mind writing up a little idea.
Dory, are you clear on what Commissioner's looking for? Can you get with Commissioner Cooper and perhaps at least clarify her mind on this, and then maybe we can reach out to you?
I understand. My mind's very clear.
No,
it's a list of five things that I think we need to look at and decide whether we're moving forward with the right policy and whether some of our existing policies that were put in place to accomplish specific things, if we've accomplished those things, then we should rethink them. That's all.
May I comment?
Please.
I just would like us to enlarge that to not just be C2 zoning, okay? Mm-hmm. We've talked at one time about planned developments. You and I had a disagreement about planned developments and where they should go. And so when I see what we're talking about, I always come back to my head about planned developments. And right. So what I would like to see us look at is more than just C2 zoning, okay? If we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about how we move forward and what it looks like, I'd like it to be more than just C2 zoning.
And I agree with you. I just want to put elephant one bite at a time. That's where I wanted to start.
We should just gnaw down, okay? And so why don't we look at what we could see as the big picture, okay? And then we can look at each little tree, too. But I'd like us to see it, and I don't...
Is that a comp plan update? Is that what we're going to be doing with the comp plan? Does that go into that?
Well, actually, yes. We tried to put you up here once.
I'm Nick Edwards. So we can certainly give you a briefing on any land use or zoning categories you'd like.
You just
chased
the police department out of here.
I could say something, but I won't. So, good idea.
Still one left.
They have guns. I don't. So, we could provide you any background you want on, but taking it back, latching it back out, it's not just zoning, it's land use. So we need to incorporate land use and zoning. And yes, Commissioner Seidel, all that is a comp plan update issue. But we're happy to deal with these things one-on-one and start getting you up to speed now if you'd like. But, you know, I personally think the C2 and the PD have a lot in common. So if we're going to have a conversation about C2, we need to be talking about PDs because there's a lot in common there. So we can do it several ways. We can present a white paper maybe for you of what's out there, where the C2 locations are.
I'll start with that, Dory.
And we'll get that to you, give you food for thought on that, and then whenever you desire, we are happy to.
That's a good thought.
In the meantime,
you may get an invitation from me for a chat.
So, but this is my other thing, Carolyn. I don't want you to think that I'm not wanting to come and listen to you or talk to you. What I want you to know is I don't want to be, I know you have to do it that way because you can do just like one at a time, but I think you're like us all to buy into working on it together instead of one person at a time because it just gets too
complicated. I don't want one at a time. I will invite all of you and you can choose to chat or not. It's fine.
Well, that's where I'm having a problem. Okay, if we start inviting one at a time to whatever,
she wants to have a work session where we're all invited. All right. Whether or not you just decide to come,
I'm going to come when everybody else comes. You know that.
Doesn't matter. I've just been thinking a lot about C2, and I wanted to talk with you about it.
I think I'm done.
Let me see if there was anything else on my list.
I thought that was
the city architect. Did the budget, did we decide we're going to do that?
I don't.
That's important.
You as a commission did not. We have a position that we're looking at doing that with.
Okay. That's all I was checking is if that's what we were doing or not.
Okay. I've got to admit I haven't given a lot of thought to C2 zoning. So.
Sometimes it just happens to me.
I know this is old news from the internet. I was up in beautiful Ohio over the weekend and flew Delta, and Delta on their plane has a big spread on Orlando. And the cool thing about this is half the places they talk about are in Winter Park.
Yes, good.
Which is really kind of cool. And I've actually been to some of these places in Winter Park, which is very nice.
We should write them and let them know they should change it to Winter Park.
To get on a plane and say yes, and realize how many tens of thousands of people see that is
and think it's Orlando.
Winter Park. Art Fest is coming up the 10th and 11th. No, it'll be between now and the next time I see you all. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't mention that. I had the opportunity last week, to go to a retirement luncheon for Sam Jones. And Sam's been with the Parks Department for 41 years. And he needs a shout out because he was a part of helping me with that, what I did at the parks and whatnot. And those are good people, and I think it's a testament, Randy, to the city and how you run things, that we have people that have been here for 41 years, because in this day and age, that's not the
norm. It's not normal, is it?
And it was great to shake Sam's hand, give him a hug, and wish him well, and he's got a fishing rod and a rocking chair. And I can't wait. A couple more years, and I'm there. So, Mr. Mayor, that's all I have.
Some nights I feel like I've been here 41 years. Well, thank you very much. Great meeting.
Thanks, sir.